United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
The Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. I'm missing my guest, and so you're stuck with me, and so I've been trying to find some information about something that I heard earlier today. So if you guys can help me out with this, I'd be greatly appreciative. Let's see. Because I was going to talk about senior care. Dandridge Nursing Home and Skilled Nursing Facility was going to come in and hang out with me today. And it looks like they are missing in action. And then I think at 10 o'clock I have the guys from the Rally in the Valley. I believe they're going to be bringing in the gentleman from Duck Dynasty this year. Don't forget that this upcoming Saturday at the let me get this off of here. This Saturday at Victory Assembly Church, I will be speaking along with Pastor Rivera and Pastor Thomas and some other ladies for the Women's Rally in the Valley. It's going to be this Saturday, and registration is at 8:30. You can hear the spot, and they can tell you where you can pick up bands early. And if not, you can get them at the door at 8:30, registration from 8:30 until about 3. Their lunch is included, so we'd like for you to come out and hang out with us on Saturday. And I will be speaking on Saturday also, so I'm looking forward to it. You'll get to see me in a different vein. You get to hear me get to actually minister. That's, you know, when you become a preacher, it's not what you do, it's who you are. And so I'll be doing that on Saturday. So please make reservations, make time out for you to come out and hang out with us. And at 10 o'clock, the men's rally in the Valley, I think, is coming up the following Saturday. And this is the first time that I've ever seen men. Usually, you know, if you have Women's Day or if you have anything like that, usually the women outnumber the men overwhelmingly. But the men's rally is a whole lot larger than the women's rally. And I'm going to talk about that when I see them when they come in at 10 o'clock this morning. But for right now, I am going to try to get my thoughts together and see if you can help me out with this. Because I was listening to something this morning, and it has to do with the gentleman out in Nevada. Oh, my. He said that he, you know what, they told me that this man called this a racial epithet. Negro is not a racial, it's on my birth certificate. I thought they, you know, I can't believe, I was watching, I'll call him out. I was watching MSNBC, and they told me that his name is Cliven Bundy. And, you know, he's a rancher out in Nevada. And he's got with the cows and the land and the people, and they want his land, and he doesn't want to, they want him to pay a federal grazing, and he's on a tyrant, and he wondered if African Americans might be better off as slaves, and then he referred to them as Negroes. So now I'm gonna throw this in there because I gotta throw it in there because, you know, my guest should have been here. So hopefully you guys will call in and help me out with this. But let's see, let's break this down a little bit. I want to tell you one more thing. I know about the Negro. He said. Mr. Bundy recalled driving past a public housing project in North Las Vegas, and in the front of the government doors, the government house, the door was usually open, and older people and the kids. And there was always at least a half dozen people sitting there on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do, and they didn't have nothing for the young girls to do. And this is him. I'm reading his comment. And because they were basically on government subsidy, so now what do? He asked. They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton and having a family and doing things, or are they better off under the government subsidy? They didn't get more freedom. They got less freedom. That was his comment. And I'm going to have this conversation. I don't have my birth certificate actually calls it says Negro, and I don't look at my dad called us colored until the time he died. That was just what black people were. Black people were colored, and now the N word. Now that's another thing, and I don't know how Mr. Bundy got off on this tangent. What made him think about that? I don't know where in the world he got some cows to black folk. So if anybody can explain that to me, y'all can call me up and tell me. And I'm going to take this in different levels and different degrees because there are different areas that we need to address. I'm not going to say what he said was right. I'm not going to say that. But I want to say in some areas it had some merit. Now, he could have served a better steak on a better platter, talking a better way in a different situation. He could have done that. It would have been easier. It was not rocket science. He could have said that a whole lot better. His diplomacy really, really sucks. But let me say this: slavery was a bad thing, but it was not a new thing. Slavery has been in existence from the beginning. It was not new for people to have slaves. My issues with slavery and my issues with the American slavery when it comes to black people and African Americans, we have to realize that slavery was it was Jim Crow. I mean, it was the inhumane activity of slavery. It was if you talk to every other racial group out there, you will find that Irish, Jews, Italians, European, all of them at one time or another, many of them have been in slavery at one time. So it wasn't new for black people, people of color, to be enslaved. That was not new. American slavery and the dehumanization of black people or people of color is what made American slavery so inhumane. And so I'm not saying that I want to go back there, because that'd be a lie too. And I'm not saying that it's right. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, in a full view, it was not new. America messed up a whole lot. But, you know, overall, we could have do better. We really could. So I'm going to say that. And let me also say this. During segregation, we had a work ethic. During segregation, we had a respect one for another that was so it caused us to do better. And I'm not saying that it was right, but it caused us to fend for ourselves and to make us freer. We may have been bound in our chains in our arms and with shackles on our hands and our feet, but we were not bound in our minds. Not all of us. Because if you look at the runaway slave really had a rough time, a hard way to go. Because he wanted to be free from all of it, and no one wanted him to be free, including those that looked like him. Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. I don't know where my guests are, so they should have been here. I'm going to change my topic. You know, I got to go write up a new one. So when I look at this and what Mr. Bundy's comments were, and I look at segregation, and I look at Jim Crow, and I look at slavery, I look back in history, and then I see my people today, when I see the average and the culture that they have evolved in our communities right now, I don't like how he said it. I don't know how he got to that conversation anyhow. I don't know how he got from black folk to cows. I don't know. Or cows to black folk. I don't know how he got from his land to black folk. I don't understand. But I can't say that what he said had no merit. He just could have said it a different way. And if anybody black is upset because a white man calls you a Negro, then you need to get over it. What you got to say, Eric? I'm sorry. How you doing? You want to know how I really feel?
No, I didn't hear about it. What did he say?
Mr. Bundy, I want to tell you one more thing about the Negro. Now, let me start with where he started from. Now, I don't know if they asked him a question. I don't know how he got to this. Remember, this is the man with the cows, and he got the cows and the land and the grazing and the money and the federal and the people.
Right.
African-Americans might be better off as slaves. And he referred to them as the Negro. So he said, the Negro might be better off as slaves. That's pretty much what he said. Then he says, and I want to tell you one more thing about the Negro. Mr. Bundy recalled driving past a public housing project in North Las Vegas. And in front of that government house, the door was usually open and older people and kids. And there was always at least a half dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for the young girls to do. And because they are basically on government subsidy, so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton and having a family life and doing things? or are they better off under government subsidy? They didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom. End quote. That's what he said.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know that.
I said, dude, why you got to say all that? Couldn't you just say happy birthday, Merry Christmas or something?
Yeah.
But, like I said, I don't think, you know, I don't, and being called a Negro by old white folks and old black folks is not uncommon. Being called colored is not uncommon. Some of y'all, if you go some of your older grandparents still call you colored. Being called a Negro, I'm not offended. I was a Negro. As a matter of fact, I was a better Negro than I am an African American, because at least when we were Negroes, we had something. We had family. Now that we African Americans, we just shoot each other up, cuss each other out, and do nothing. Let me take my break. I want you to think on your comments. Covina man sitting in the wings. I got to let him in. You know he's about to lose his mind. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We want to hear from you today. We'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Don't miss the 2014 Women's Rally in the Valley, April 26th at Victory Christian Center in Coitsville. Find out more about this life-changing event. Visit womenofhisvision.com. Entrance bands are just $15 in advance and $20 at the door. Get yours at Flambeau's Caribbean Takeout in Youngstown, Specialty Fab in North Lima, Trolio Screen Printing in Boardman, Ryan's Chair Hair Care and Treatment in Youngstown, Victory Christian Center in Coitsville, and Victory Christian Center in Youngstown.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren. Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Mark Levin.
If Barack Obama had been president instead of Ronald Reagan during the Reagan two terms, do you think the Soviet Union would have been defeated? Of course not, because Reagan had his head screwed on right.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I was talking about Mr. Calvin Bundy out in Nevada, and somehow, I don't know how this white man got some cows and land to black folk. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand how that happened. But nevertheless, that's where he went. And I want to talk about it. Eric, your mic was up first, and then I'm going to bring in Covina Manasseh, Alabama, sitting in the wings. What do you think?
You said Eric or Covina Man?
Eric. Eric was first. Eric might have ran. It's a pretty deep topic. I know what you got to say. What do you have to say, Covina Man? I'm going to let you just talk.
Well, first of all, I believe earlier in the week we was having a conversation, and you said white folks don't really talk about black people.
They don't.
Right. So Mr. Bundy didn't really talk about us. He was talking about somebody else.
No. No. Okay. What Mr. Bundy did was, I don't know how he got to this point, but however he got to it, Mr. Bundy talked about black folks. But as an overall, white people don't think about black folks that much. Now, just because the news reported it doesn't mean that all white people are lumped in the same bucket, just like all black people are not lumped in the same bucket.
There is a show that recaps the week in racial statements that's being made by people. They do this every week, week out. I'm just saying.
Just because I talk about something, And I only make up 10% of the population doesn't mean that all the other 90 are talking about you. That's the point. The average ongoing white person is not talking and or thinking about black folk.
Okay, I was just trying to cover that to make sure we had recap that was on the same page.
I still stand by my original comment.
Okay, I still stand by mine. As I said earlier in the week, I really disagree with that. Okay, on to the Mr. Bundy's current statement here. I basically assume that most white conservatives feel exactly the way he said.
Let me say this.
That would be my assumption.
Let me say this. I don't think white conservatives feel exactly the way he did, but most I will say this. I will take out the slavery part, but a lot of it that he said, I actually agree with also. As I said, what he said has some merit.
Right, I would agree.
Did you hear what I said? I said, I agree.
Yeah, no.
I said, I agree. And when I say I agree. And see, and this is the issue. I don't agree with the, you know, we need to go back to slavery and we should have been picking cotton. Don't get me wrong. That was very, very malicious in what he said. And if I was there, I'd have called him on it without a problem. I'd have called him on it. I'd have taken him to task. Absolutely.
I'm shocked that you would say that because I assume that most the black conservatives would agree about the whole slavery.
You missed my point. Let me tell you this way, and I'm gonna. This is why I started this early. I don't know how long I have to talk about this. I may have to take off an hour because I've got some people coming in at 10 o'clock. But I will say this: don't get it twisted. I tell folks all the time, I am black. And I will check you in a heartbeat. See, I can say what I want to say about my family, but you can't say what you want to say about my family. But if you say something stupid and what you say is stupid has some merit, I'll give you the merit that it does. But I won't. But I will check you and tell you you can't say that. It's not for you to say.
Yeah,
but let me say this. But what Mr. McBundy said, government subsidies have enslaved black people. That's what he said, and it's true. Welfare reform, sitting around doing nothing, looking at all your black men incarcerated, looking at all your girls having babies, and looking at all the abortions that you're having across the country. You're absolutely, absolutely.
Well,
it's true.
You're saying that Deneen Benelli is going to get some overtime work this week. Trying to help white folks cover up for what Bundy said. You're going to see all the black conservatives do that rollout in the next 24 or 48 hours.
But I can't speak for them. See, they don't. If you notice, they don't call me. They don't call me because I'm not politically correct. I just come out and tell them, you know what? He may love black people, he just didn't know how to say it. At least I know where he stands and what he thinks. But when I called Strickland out on NPR last week, they told me I shouldn't say that online. I shouldn't say that. Because I said he doesn't like black people.
Right, so you said that Strickland, I don't know what comment
Strickland
he made,
was the former governor was the former governor of Ohio.
Yeah, okay. So
I came straight out and I said he doesn't like black people and they checked me on it on air. You can't, that's an unfair statement.
Right, So let me recap, make sure we're on the same page again. Strickland doesn't like black people, but Mr. Bundy loves black people.
No, what I'm saying is it's not about love. It's about Mr. Bundy, I don't know. Mr. Bundy has not created legislation that is enslaving. And what the man said, he may have been ignorant in his comments, but what he said was very true.
Right, so you agree with
government, government subsidies, government entitlements has enslaved the black person, the Negro, the colored person, and the African American. Not physically in their arms and in their legs, but in their minds. Absolutely.
Right. I would assume that all black conservatives, white conservatives, I would assume that that's what they believe. That's why I don't see. Anything that he says should be a shock. I would expect Alabama and especially South Carolina. I would expect all y'all to believe that exactly what he said.
But you missed the again. See, that's where you lose it. That's where you're missing the point. He may have been ignorant in his comments. He may have been wrong in how he said it. But until we can all agree, the government subsidies are the demise of the black community. We will always be lost.
I would totally disagree with that.
Because you like handouts.
No, I like justice.
No, that's not justice, baby. Justice is making sure you get an education when you send your kid to school. Justice is not sending your kid to school and him being there 14 years and then him walking out and still can't read. That's not justice.
Well, stick to the same point because you said government handouts and you jump right to education. I'm looking at a government handout.
Again, education. Head Start is an educational program. You got kids starting ahead. It's a government subsidy. Me giving you a check and not allowing you to have any wealth is a problem.
I would point to the Homestead Act, where white folks were given government subsidies for land, 40 acres or plus of land, whereas black folks were given a boot.
Again, I'm not trying to compare apples with apples and oranges with oranges. White people are not in the same position as black people in America. We need to understand that the racial injustices that we have in this country is because they have been maligned to destroy us.
Right,
Alabama, your mic's on.
Well, let me one more point. That the government subsidy given to white folks in the amount of land, did that destroy their family? Of course not. That's a rhetorical question. Go ahead, Alabama.
Well, Covita, man, I think you like me, man. You always bring my name up and speak for me without really letting me say what he said. I'm sure Alabama, South Carolina agrees with. He told the line way more than I do. I don't toe the line. And I like South. He my boy. But South will toe that line and be like, who cares? I see the ramifications of the Homestead Act. I'm actually reading right now because I hadn't really read the book. I skimmed through it, but now I'm actually reading. I'm about 30% through the book. Sundown Towns. Read through the book, and I see what's happening. I see why most black people live in where they live, because and why it's scattered. People from France came over 100 years ago. People from Italy, Germany. They live in Wyoming. They live in North Dakota, South Dakota. They live in Montana, and they live in major metropolitan areas. But the reason that they was because there was a time after, up until 1890 where after the Civil War, blacks could go and live anywhere they wanted to. Well, that's been taken away. That was taken away up until – and so this is the point I'm trying to make, is that what he just said about – that's true in the sense that, yeah, blacks are slaves to – the government. I mean, we're on a plantation. But at the same time, I'll go as far as to say that we've been subjected to tons of different systems and things that hinder and stop wealth creation. Because that's all I'm going to talk about is where the money, where I'm going to keep my eyes on the money and the power. And we've been held back from that through the government and through policies that some of us think help us, and then these people are laughing all the way to the bank. So, I quite frankly, what did the guy say? I didn't even hear his point. I just heard the point that Tracy said about.
What he said. Hold on. He says African American. He said Negroes might have been better off if they had returned. If they had better off as slaves. I want to tell you one more thing about the Negro. He said, He recalled driving past a public housing project in North Las Vegas, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older black people and the kids. And there was always at least a half dozen people sitting on the porch, and they didn't have nothing to do. The kids didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for the young girls to do because they are basically on government subsidy. So now what do? He asked. They abort their young children. They put their young men in jails because they never learned how to pick cotton. And that's where that little phrase right there gets me. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton? There you go right again. And having a family and doing things or are they better off under government subsidy? They didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom.
Well, see, that's ignorant because, for one, we were free.
That's what I'm saying.
Supposedly. From 1865 up until now, and we're supposed to be free. So, and there's a lot that took place before the Great Society came into play, but we were held back so his ancestors could come in and generate wealth and raise his family and raise their family. They were given government subsidy. We were ran off our land, and businesses were burned down and taken and given to white immigrants. And this is widespread all over this country.
I'm with y'all on that. I'm with you on that's what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. I understand all that, and I am with you guys on all of that. You are right.
Tracy, if you go back and look at the census in 1890, blacks lived in North Dakota, South Dakota. They lived in Wyoming. They lived in Montana. And you go back systematically, all these people were ran from their property, ran out of these communities. That's where all the hangings were for. That's what a lot of people were whipped. The Chinese went through the same thing. But the only way they couldn't stop them is when they were in large areas. That's why Chinatown, if you trace the history, these Chinatowns, they were assaulted by whites. These immigrants would come over, get upset, run them off if they're doing better than they are. And that's how they were able to generate wealth. So when I hear a person say, well, I didn't have anything to do with it, you personally didn't go out and run people away, but your granddad and your father did, and that's how you were able to be afforded some of the opportunities that you have in this country. And I know that's unpopular to say, but that's the truth.
It's true. And I'm with you on that.
It's very true.
I agree.
Tracy, let me say this real quick, too.
Hold on. What did you say, Eric? Hold on. Go ahead, Matt. Eric, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Eric.
No, I was going to say, he's right. That's very true. All you had to do was easy to look up Rosewood and down to Florida. That was a booming black community. They burned it to the ground.
But there were others. You know, 12 Years a Slave was a free man that was actually kidnapped and put back into slavery. There's a lot of things that have gone on, and I agree. But what I'm saying is, his ignorance should spark a conversation that would do us better. We'll be right back.
It will. Look, Rosewood was not just some isolated. They like to play it like it was isolated. No. There's a reason black people only live in Chicago, only live in New York, Detroit, Philadelphia. They were ran there. When they tried to go out into these suburbs and urban areas, these white people ran up. And it's not the South. The South don't have as many sundown towns. This is a little secret. So, and especially any beachfront property, blacks weren't allowed to live. Trust me when I tell you this. That's why we're not on beach. You think blacks didn't want to live in beach areas back in the 1800s? You think they didn't? We tried. What happened?
No,
this stuff was systematically done. Then we're not taught this history. That's what pissed me off when people come out, pull yourself up. Now, I'm conservative, COVID a man, just like anybody else. But at the end of the day, fair is fair, and people don't know the real history. I'm sitting through reading this stuff, and it angers me. But I'm going to read it anyway because I think it's good that we know this stuff, and whites need to be aware. They need to get that book, sit down, and learn. I hate when that guy, that lawyer comes on there. My people and my grandfather, it's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear it.
Take a breath, man. Don't blow yourself out of a fuse. But I think what you're doing, man, is positive, and that you learn about the history. So I learned about when I was in my teens. That's why I grew up the way I am. That's why I had the views I have because of the education that I have. So I think you might call yourself a conservative, and I probably may have when I was a teenager. But I think when you find out the true history of America, especially race relations, black folks, and stuff you're learning right now, you'll be conservative on the inside, but you're going to be pro-black.
Well, man, let me say this right here, man. When I say conservative, I'm talking about principles. I'm not talking about I'm going to go out here and vote for some guy that hates black people or some guy that – and then let me put it like this. I don't care if you hate or love black people. My point is, if what you're going to do is it going to benefit blacks? You can hate us. But what are you going to do? Blacks want to know what's in a guy's heart. I can care less about what's in your heart. What are you going to do? What actions are you going to take to empower blacks? If you empower small businesses, you empower black people because 9 times out of 10, that's the only type of business we got the revenue to even get our hands on, even start. So that's why I'm pro-business. Another reason I'm pro-family is because, okay, let's destroy the family. Keep aborting all these babies like Margaret Sanger said. This guy in sundown town talking about Margaret Sanger said, we don't want to make it, we don't want the word to get out. We want to destroy and wipe out the black population. This is stuff that, so when you say you're Democrat, or you say you're liberal or progressive, what you're really saying is I'm for the destruction of the black population in this country. I can show a black person that, but a lot of us don't have the critical thinking skills to dislodge ourselves from the Democrat Party in the progressive liberal mindset and say, let me go into this thing without the left-right paradigm and see how I can get out of this what's best for me. I'm for small business. I'm for small government because government can't do better what I can do for myself. So, I mean, I don't think every black person's weak and needs the government to come in and defend them. And I think if you get rid of a lot of these social programs, black men will be forced to pull their pants up. A lot of these thugs, black women to stop spreading their legs for these thugs and say, look, you got no job, you ain't getting no nookie. And then we'll start seeing some progression like we used to. They came in and pacified us. I'm sorry.
No, I think in a lot of ways, man, you're right. I just think that you can't make your enemy your
look
friend.
At, wait a minute. Do this right here, man. Stop looking at me and Tracy as the enemy. Just do that. Stop looking at, even though South Carolina toes the line a lot of times, don't look at him as the enemy. Because if you listen to South Carolina, his heart is in the place of trying to get what's best for every. He should say he don't see color. But he still, if you ask him, man, look, do you want what's best for black people? I think he'll say yes. So we're not the enemy. And I say that all the time. I know you bring my name is always the first one you mention. But my thing is, man, all I ask is that we're not going to agree on everything. I don't agree with them hotel bundles on a lot of different stuff, but I agree with them on a lot of stuff.
The number is 347-945-5229. And can you tell that the sun is now shining here in Northeast Ohio? It is 47 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock on the 24th of May, and there's sun coming out this morning, and the reason why you should know that is because I'm not playing happy. But now, if you see me playing happy again, that means the sun has gone down, and I've got to bring the sun back up, so we got to play happy all over again. And that's the rules right now. I was talking about Kelvin Bundy, and he's the rancher out in Nevada, and if anybody has the scoop on how in the world this man, in the world he got the black people from cows in his land, please let me know. Because that's what I want to know. I want to know how did he get there? Can anybody explain that to me? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, Covina Man, Alabama, and Erica's on the phone. Covina Man?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you believe that all government subsidies are good for African Americans?
Absolutely not.
So you believe that the system has been kind to African Americans?
Absolutely not. I think that as Alabama is discovering, if you know the history, you'll know where the enemy is and what the things they've been doing against black people for a very long time. And I think that what we have today, if I can quickly summarize what's going on in the modern America, especially regarding the Bundy thing, is that we had a sea change in the demographic and electoral elections going on in this country. And just like the far-right people, like the KKK, I'm not including Bundy in that necessarily, but it probably is, but I was just saying, in this modern electoral way, as I explained before, when a majority of white people, not all white people, but just the majority of white people, have for the first time voted together against a president, and that president, Obama, won despite the white folks ganging up. The white folks went into a panic. They looked at the demographic change. They looked at the vote. They said, we white folks in the majority still couldn't keep this Negro from getting into office.
What Negro?
So a lot, Obama. So now, let me just finish. I'm almost done. So now what they've done is they said, well, we have to take our country back, and the voting is not going to work. So voting is not going to work.
It was the white male vote.
I'm almost done.
He only lost the white male vote. He didn't lose the white female vote.
No, the white female as well. Check the statistics. I put it up on
Jess Page.
Okay, before you go on, I put the statistics up on Jess Page where everybody was on Tracy's phone that day so that you can check the statistics so we don't have to be arguing about what the statistics are. I put it on there so we don't have to argue about that. But let me get back to my point. I'm almost done. So what they see is because the electoral is not going to work anymore, if they can't stop the people from voting, if they can't stand their ground and kill people on the street, at least they can do is get their guns and fight the government. They say that, hey, if we can't run the government, to hell with the government, and that's why all those people showing up to Bundy's ranch.
Do you really believe the words that come out of your mouth?
That what I just said was it, man.
Do you really believe the words coming out of your mouth?
I've been saying this on your show for the last.
I hope you're not that simple-minded. I really do. I hope you're not that simple that every white person in the whole country, hey, let's come together and move like this. I don't think that's it. That's one little incident. All of the people, if you watch Fox News and look at the people that you say are racist, Every one of them ain't even on the guy's side. So it's like there were a few people came together. We're only talking about maybe, what, a few hundred people? It ain't like it was 30, 40, 50, 100,000 folks out there trying to help him. So, I mean, you need to get your thing. You get a few people to come together, and it's against Obama. Come on, man. I hope you're not that happy meal in elementary with your ideas.
I mean, come on. Because, I mean, you really, I mean, you spun that around. I mean, it doesn't matter the man getting from cows to black people. You spun this around from him to Obama. Now, let me say this about Republicans.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Really, really quick. The Republicans need to be careful who they align themselves with, because every time they come up with a cause and they align themselves with someone, someone puts their foot in mouth. They got like a foot in mouth syndrome. And foot in mouth syndrome is bad. So now, you know, all these conservative talk groups, all these conservative people have, a lot of them have aligned themselves with this Bundy guy. And Bundy now come out, and he's ignorant, and the news is getting ready to kill him because he called black folks Negroes and said, and put the word cotton in there, and that was a bad term. He shouldn't have never went there to cotton. You know, cotton, you don't put black folks in cotton in the same sentence. And now they're gonna label all Republicans and conservatives as the Bundy syndrome. That's how they all think. And don't you think that's a bad way to go? Because all conservatives don't think like that.
No, I, and again, I don't think all conservatives say it. I didn't say it. I said this particular Bundy Ranch situation and the anti-government people that are drawn into it. That doesn't mean all. I don't think that Bill O'Reilly is an anti-government. They're sitting on too much money. A lot of the people who are the anti-government, far-right militia type, that's the ones I'm talking about, the far-right militia type.
Hold on. I got a question for you. Because, you know, yes, Styx is crazy. You know, Styx is far right. Would you call him, you know, really?
No, I was agreeing with you. You said Styx is far right. And I said,
Coach, wait a minute. So you agree with all these hotel brothers, too, everything that come out of their mouth, coming and sitting up in million-dollar houses, talking about they're more and they're going to just take the house. Because they claim some law. No, I'm just saying. I mean, so you agree with that because you're lying with the hotel moors that they're too lazy to get out there and get a job and buy a house. They want to take it because they black. So you hit them too, huh?
Well, you know, I thought we had conversations. I don't like no hotel. I don't like no hotel. None of that craziness.
Why is it that you want me to remember what you say, but then when I tell you stuff, you still bring my name up and align me with certain ideologies that I have nothing to do with?
I don't recall that, dude. But I thought I knew.
You just said today. I'm sure Alabama and South Carolina, and you are gonna agree with this guy because this that. I don't agree with nobody. That's why I asked. I said, what did he say? That was the dumbest thing I ever heard. Talking about we should have learned how to pick cotton. That right there, that's stupid.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what
that's
you think.
Ignorant.
Look, how you think this nation was built? How you look? They got off that boat. It was nothing but trees and Indians. They had to pay get some people to come build it. Who you think built it? Who you think they got the people from? Us. So, I mean, for him to say we ain't have no skills, we built just about everything. That's why they came up with
Alabama.
You. That's just straight stupidity.
Alabama, hold on. Alabama, we built almost everything, and that's true. But today, we own and we build nothing. Hold on, South Carolina. That is the premise of what the man is saying. Again, his ignorance of the garbage can that he put it on is really bad. But what he is actually saying is, wow, think about this. When we were picking cotton, we had family. We had fathers who got whipped for trying to hold his family together. We had mothers.
Let me finish,
Alabama. We had mothers who actually looked at their little children and put hope in their eyes because they could give them nothing else. But today, we don't have mothers or fathers. We have people who have litters. We don't care for our children. We don't respect our men. We don't raise up our boys to become men. We make our little girls prostitutes. That's what the man was actually saying. Don't get me wrong. The little cotton epitaph and all that kind of crazy stuff. He was off base. But when we were picking
the whole argument.
No. Listen.
You're idealizing something that he didn't say.
No, I'm not. He said, but the government subsidies. He was talking about the welfare system of America. He's talking about the war on poverty in America. It has destroyed the Negro.
But, Tracy, you're idealizing what he said, because he didn't say nothing about black folks was owning stuff and they were building. He went from slavery and the next stop.
No. Listen, I have read this comment three times this morning. And I'll probably read it again. And what he said was they had family.
Yeah, understand.
No, listen to what the man said. Don't try to make stuff up.
You're idealizing. Read it again.
The man said, I'll tell you one more thing about the Negro. He said, as I passed by a housing project in North Las Vegas, in the front porch of that government house, the door is usually open, and the older people and the kids. And there is always at least a half dozen people sitting on the porch, and they didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing to do for their kids, and they didn't have nothing for the young girls to do. And because they are basically on government subsidy, so now what do they do? That's what he said. It's kind of bad English. He says they abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. That's where he went off. He says, I've often wondered, would they have been better off as slaves picking cotton and having a family? And doing things? Or are they better off under government subsidy? They didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom.
Okay, Tracy, I want to interject. Hold on, man, because y'all going to keep going back and forth. This is the thing right here, though. The thing is chess, man. If you come to a system and you see where, okay, if we keep giving this $800 check a month and telling the women they can't have a man in the house and we see it destroying the family, maybe I need to change my strategy. That's called critical thinking skills. But if you just keep coming in and saying, well, you know what, they're racist. Both this side is racist, this side is good. Everything Democrats do to blacks is not good. In fact, everything they do a lot of times is to enslave you by giving you some little small subsidy that won't really empower you and get you nowhere. And so what bothers me, and a good example of that, is with the voucher system. And you can look at Washington, D.C. Look at the D.C. education system and how they were doing, how those kids were coming up testing better. Obama shuts it down. Why? Because the unions have power and we don't. They got money, we don't. The NEA has money. They don't want these teachers held to any types of standards. Let them stay at these schools and fail and flunk and get out and wind up selling drugs and go to jail and then get incarcerated.
Okay,
black people, I can sit here and show this to you, go being a man, and you'd rather sit here and insult us and call us names and call us Uncle Tom and say, but you really doing all the detriment you can to destroy your own people. And you're not going to show it to you, but you won't even deal with that. But you'll call me Uncle Tom. I'm sitting up there like, well, man, fast fail.
Alabama, we were trying to make a point, man, and you took us on a diversion. Tracy, y'all had the point.
It's all had the point.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing on that matter. I'm arguing on what Bundy said. That was what we was talking about.
Bundy, I'm going to tell you something. If something happens, Bundy's stupid. Bundy is stupid.
Okay, right. I'm trying to make a point with Tracy. I'll get back on you in a minute. Let me just make this point with Tracy.
Tracy gone.
Oh, my goodness, man. You just had to come in and mess up. I was trying to make a point.
Look here, man. Look here. This what's up right here, dog.
Dude, I agree with you, man.
That's what I'm saying right here, though. But Bundy can have the Constitution. He can have certain rights, and things can be done to Bundy, and I still say it's wrong. That don't mean that everything he come out of his mouth with, I ride with. That's just like when black folks were defending Obama because he went to a church and the pastor said something 3 days out of 20 years, he made a couple of country. On his ideas and what he believes. Now let me order my sandwich.
All right, go ahead, bro. Yeah, man. Ah, man, I was trying to make a point, man. It was a critical point. We was in the middle of an argument. It took me in a diversion. And Tracy was
yeah, I'm back. I had to order my sandwich, man, for the morning before I go to work.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A, I hear you over there. But I was trying to make a point because Tracy was talking about Bundy was talking about being a family. And he went from being a slave family to a all
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something what he did. He spoke in such a way. He spoke some truth, but what I felt like came out was a bit of his heart. His heart feels a certain way towards black people. He thinks black people are lazy and stupid, right? But he still put some truth in there with it. That's that I'll say that. But in his heart, it sounds like for you to say we ain't learned how to pick cotton is by far either you stupid or you think a certain way about black people. You think we've been over here for longer than you have, actually. And you think that we didn't learn how to pick cotton? Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit's dumb. I think he's just an ignorant farmer. He's a farmer. He don't know nothing about politics. He should have kept his mouth shut.
But the thing is, Tracy was trying to defend it, dude. I'm trying to say he went from slavery and family all the way to subsidized housing, like nothing in between. He didn't mention Louis Armstrong. He was black renaissance. He didn't mention black people creating rock and roll, jazz, country, everything. None of that. None of that is matter. Only thing matter was we were slaves and we was happy Negroes and now we subsidized housing and something wrong with us. There was nothing in between.
I think it's an insult to sit up here and not. Yeah, I'm going to get some great jelly. I think it's an insult to not honor and respect the history and the contributions that blacks have made to this country. And then want to talk about get over color, right? You telling me to get over color when you beat us across the head, generated a certain amount of wealth. And that's the thing. Not every white person is wealthy. But don't sit up here and say that. Oh, you know, and this is what Tariq Nasheed was saying a few weeks ago. Go back and listen to what he was talking about. He said, look, I'm not talking about every white person. I'm talking about the wealth that was generated from us getting held down. Where's that? We're not worried about every white firm. Let's look at AIG. Let's look at the Barclays. Let's look at a lot of these insurance companies that were around back then, New York, all these different companies. That's what we're talking about. Now, that's fair.
You're not going to get white folks to be fair ever, so I think that's a delusion. I wouldn't even waste time going there.
Is Tariq Nasheed on Blog Talk?
Tariq Nasheed is
Tariq
he's on, he got his own show. Just go to Tariq Live Radio. Tariq Live Radio.
Okay.
And YouTube too. He's under Maybach, but he's on YouTube.
I thought it was the Elite Way. Listen to him on there. He's got one about reparations though. He did it about a good month ago. Just listen to it.
Yeah, I listen to Tariq. Tariq is all right by me, man. I got no issue with him. Man. I use his lectures sometimes for my students that I work with. I'll let him speak the game, and I'll just sit back and take.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Covina.
Yes, sir.
Are you trying to generate some power, wealth, and influence out there in California? Because I mean, they just took your state over. It's dangerous. Y'all are minority. Y'all are the super minority now.
And that's a good thing. Let me let you know. That's a good thing. Because all the ghetto people should not be in charge of nothing. If they're in jail, that's what they need to be. They're terrible black folks out here. I wouldn't work with them for nothing.
Wait a minute. I know you tell me, how could you talk about the prison industrial complex and being somebody if they're in jail, that's where they need to be? You got cops out there. California's real bad for planting drugs on people.
Yeah, it was really bad about 20 years ago. Right? That's dangerous.
Oh, it lightened up?
Yeah, they had put a lot of cops in jail, man. Cops get on, man, we put cops in jail out here like nothing now.
All right.
But you know, that's just rare. That's just in California. I don't know about the rest of the place. But yeah, black folks in California, man, they didn't earn nothing. If you don't earn your place, you can't expect everybody else to be on pause while you try to figure out do you want a roughneck or do you want a businessman? And that's who you want to breed with. The rest of the world is not going to sit around and wait. So as long as you want the roughnecks and the you know, Ray Ray and Pookie and the homeboys from the hood, then you get what you deserve. And I say more power to you can do what you want to. I'll be the last black person.
I don't know, man. I mean, that sounds a bit hypocritical, don't you think?
I think people get what they pick. You choose your destiny.
I mean, but that's a conservative principle. That's conservative what you're saying. I'm just trying to see how that even, how do you even reconcile that with all the other stuff you say? Because that's pretty harsh, man.
I really think that that's what people pick, man. I'm about people choosing what they want to be. If they that's what they want to be, they want to be the land of the hoods and bugs and the crips. More power to you.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of sometimes people do what they do out of they feel like that's the only choice they have. They don't see any other way. I'm just being honest, and I'm not making excuses. I mean, yeah, you need to pay your debt to society, but
man,
I
grew up in the place where everybody else, man, and I was right there. I was in a class with Rodney King and
what type of mom and dad did you have? What type of mom and dad did you have? I bet your parents is coming. Everybody's mom ain't like that. Some people might be born to a mom that's a freak that's got different dudes running in and out of the house every day on drugs. Dudes running trains on their mama in front of them. I know people that grew up like that.
Yeah, me too. That's why they're 6 feet under right now.
What would that do to your mind? Nobody, I never seen my mother with nobody like that. I'm just saying. What would that do to your mind as a little child to see some guy having sex with your mom in your face?
It's going to absolutely deform that kid. Absolutely. That's the kids that I work with.
That's what I'm saying. Their mind is hard, though. You tell me you're working with them. Don't tell me that they just like every other kid, because they're not.
No, absolutely not.
People grow up in those situations. I know a kid who mama tied him to a tree and left him. They had to find him. He almost starved to death. He ain't right in the head. I can't even be mad at him, though. Look how his mama treated him.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after the hour at 10 o'clock. It looks like I'm having a no-show day of guests, so guess what? It's just you and I. And it's a good thing, and I'm glad to do that because the conversation, I did not expect. I was watching the news this morning. I was just tending my little business, putting my clothes on. I got a friend of mine in the studio with me, and his name is Ronson McDowell. He's taking some photos for me, and he's got to come back and do my crew and my friends and get them all up and going so we can have some promotional pictures for the website and for Facebook and the Internet and all that kind of stuff. And I am, was just watching the news and they were talking about this Ivan Bundy. And I've been listening to the man with the cows in Nevada and the grazing and the turtles and the frogs and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, Cliven Bundy. I said, okay, he's crazy. Let's do this. And then they read the comments. And so Mika Brzezinski, she says he said a racial epithet. And I'm like, what did he say? I'm thinking he said the N-word. He didn't say the N-word. He said Negro. I said, come on now. So now and I listened to their comments and listened to what they had to say, and it was kind of, okay, this is cool. And then I read it, and as I said, the cotton thing, was he gone too far? Can you say too far? Go too far. But, and then, so now I'm here, and we're there. And I want to talk about it because I think it's important. Because people need to hear for the black side of the vice, and I believe that I am right to my core. What he said was very divisive, and it was very, very distasteful. But at least now you know what he thinks. And some things that he said had merit, if you're honest with it. Six, your mic is on.
Yeah, Tracy, first things first, I'm not going to defend ignorance. So let's get that out of the way right away. But I want to walk back to when, I think it was Alabama, said that the Homestead Act subsidy. And if it was a subsidy and black people were excluded, then, or they were allowed to participate in what they had built was stolen from them, then let's, instead of handing checks to people, let's figure out ways to give opportunity same way that the quote-unquote subsidy was given to white people, because more failed than succeeded. More homesteaders that went out there failed than actually stayed on the land. Within 15 years, most of them were back where they came from.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I'm all for opportunity. I'm going to tell you something. Those people coming from those areas, from overseas, coming from France, we've been over here as slaves, been working from 4 in the morning to 8, 9 o'clock at night every day, right? You turn us loose, we weren't. Well, you can go back and find certain writings. Before 1890, before they started coming with all these different laws and stuff to hold us back, black people in certain interviews were saying, we are rising, we're coming up. Because we were able to go out and outwork a lot of these people that come from these foreign countries, because they wasn't used to working and doing the things that we would go that extra mile. So, yeah, had they been given the fair opportunity?
I'm not disagreeing with you, Alabama. You're absolutely right, which is why in the early part of the 20th century, the minimum wage laws and Davis-Bacon and all of those laws were passed keep black people from, quote-unquote, taking jobs from white people in the North. Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with you in a bit, but the wholesale handing out of benefit checks has failed miserably, so let's try a different path.
Let me say it this way.
Get some ideas out there and throw out some different paths.
I've said this before, and I will continue to say this. We don't need to take away all of the subsidies with age-dependent children, but we need to reshape a lot of it. Some of this needs to be reshaped, just like our educational system needs to be reshaped. The problem is we won't do anything proactive to reshape these things. Just passing out money, passing out assistance without accountability is not the way to go.
You ain't got to pull a Jeff on me and mute my mic. I just shut up when you talk, okay?
No, your air is breathing in. You had your window down, or your Bluetooth was blowing, and it was making a lot of noise, and we don't like it.
Do you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Hold on. South Carolina, your mic is on.
Good morning, everybody. How's everything going? Can y'all hear me?
What's up, man? What's happening?
Yeah.
What's up?
Good morning.
I'm heading for Richmond Saturday.
All right. I can't make that one stick.
We'll get together. We'll see if we can do Darlington together. Maybe you can talk
your
wife into going.
Listen,
maybe we can provide some equal opportunities for some African Americans out on the racetrack. It's been a while since we had any of them. You know, maybe we need to set up some quotas so there can be some kind of reciprocity for African Americans in NASCAR.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something interesting. South Carolina that I read yesterday, the first 15 derbies of horse racing were won. Well, not the first 15, but the first 27.
Alabama.
I'm just making a point by what he just said.
Listen, y'all talk on the break. I'm trying to get him back on topic. He called in, and y'all talking about racetracks. I'm talking about Nevada.
No, actually, this has to do with Nevada, if you let me finish my sentence. I was talking about what he just said. The first 27, out of the first 27 derbies, 15 of them were won by blacks, and then they banned them from racing horses, and they never really got back into it. That's all I was about to say.
What's that got to do with what I just said?
I just want to know what you got to say
about Mr. Bundy's comments.
Mr. Bundy's comments? What about him?
Yes. What you think? Or don't you know about him yet?
No, I haven't heard about him yet.
Mr. Bundy said y'all need to go back and pick some cotton, you'd do better off. All you Negroes. And Kalina Man said you're going to agree with him.
Tracy?
What?
I'm going to put it to you like this. In what context was he talking about? Because if he's talking about in the context of us having families and intact families and things like that, and a man working for what he made, yeah, I agree with him. Go back to 60 cotton. Go back to the back seat.
Hold on. Okay. MSHAH 2001 or 20,001. Your mic is on.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. This is MD Shaheed from Houston, Texas.
Hello, Mr. Shaheed.
I only had a comment. I'm not going to take too much time. I just got an opportunity to read the statement. You know, I didn't even know about it until I heard you guys talking about it. That's how much I'm removed from all this ignorance, I guess. But since ignorance has raised its head, I guess I need to cut it off. Let me tell you something, Tracy. When I grew up in the projects. I think I heard this man say something about he used to go by the projects and he saw people sitting out doing nothing. And
yeah.
I grew up with doing out of thing. I grew up, I have five brothers and sisters. My mother never did take a government check. And I saw my mother work many jobs. And everybody that I knew, I would say at least 90% of the people that lived there was working. This was in the 60s. This was in the 60s and the 70s. I would say 90% of them was working, and at least 90% of them were married. So most of the people that grew up in the project that I knew went on to become very successful, some of them are doctors, lawyers, teachers, musicians, etc. Myself, I'm a scientist. And I can tell you right now, my work in the field of industrial science and chemistry, there's not a person walking around on 2 feet that has been affected by my research and some of the products that I have developed or influenced other researchers or other companies to follow suit and develop as well. So
you called Jason Black last week, didn't you?
Yes, sir. This concept people talking about, see, we're gonna put this thing down to the metal to the pedal. Let me tell you something. Everybody thought when Martin Luther King, I saw John F. Kennedy, I remember him get assassinated. My mama cried like a baby. My teacher cried like a baby. I remember when Martin Luther King got assassinated. Everybody thought that if we integrated into the mainstream society, everything was going to be doing good. We had good schools. I had the best school. It was all black. I had the best school that you could ever have, had the best teachers, had the best coaches. The parents looked out for each other's kids. I don't know if these people talking about no family. White folks, but I'm going to say white folks because I'm really speaking now. I don't use this type of terminology, but I'm speaking to that white person now that think they done forgot or they don't want to remember. White folks, they have nothing to do with what we were doing and had no influence on our family structure. Back in the 50s and the 60s, we had good situations. Now, when we integrated, everybody went to sleep, I think, and thought everything was so great. I'm not against integration, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that was one of the biggest mistakes is when we integrated, we let the political people tell us what's best for us. Send your black children to white schools. We're going to send white teachers to your schools because your teachers are not good enough. Because you didn't have the books or you didn't have the right material. That has been the reversal of the African-American family, which has led to a decline in moral, and the morality has led to a decline in intellectual development. Most people don't understand the psyche. You got to have some morality to have some intellectual development. The two actually go hand in hand. And I know if we were growing up and somebody did something wrong back in what you would call the real project, not the play project they talk about today, but the real project, somebody else's parent will straighten you out. I get a whooping from another parent, and when I get home, I get a whooping from my parent. That's how it used to be. So it's not so much that black people don't know what to do. They'd be better off picking cotton. No, they're better off getting the education like they were doing. They were better off building their own businesses. We had our own stores, Mr. Sweat Food Store, run by a black man. We had our own laundromat. We had everything. So they were better off doing what they were doing. It's just we bought into this idea that we black wasn't good enough, and we integrated, we'll just let the European philosophy dictate and guide us because they know best. And the fact of the matter is we've been achieving all along. It's black people have helped build this country. I'm not talking about on no railroad. I'm talking about in the school system, in the academic system. Hell, the number system comes from a black man from Africa.
Absolutely.
Okay, so don't keep acting like we ain't contributed nothing to America. Just because you don't read about it because Wikipedia won't tell you who Muslim Shaheed is or won't tell you who Dr. Lord Hall is or Lord Quatermain is or Percy Julian, and I can go, or Dr. Jesse James. I can go on and on. Forget about George Washington Carver and the peanut butter. You talking about some guys have developed stuff far beyond reaching that they don't teach in the school, and it's hard to find on the internet unless you know exactly what you're looking for. So stop acting like all we do is produce babies. And we don't have to prove nothing to the white race no more. We've already produced and sufficiently enough and over 400 years to demonstrate we're capable of adding to the benefit of this country, the economic well-being of this country, and the political and financial stability of this country.
Okay, I got a question for you. Hold on, wait a minute. Don't leave. Hold up. Don't go nowhere because I agree with you. And Corina, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree with you. But today, 2014, where they at?
That's our fault.
Are you following me, Steve? I know what you're talking about in the past. I understand that wholeheartedly, and I believe it. And I believe we are better than where we are today. But today, in 2014, in 2013, and beyond, when I look at my community and where I live, where are we?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay, we're in the dumps. And the only way we're going to get out of the dumps is to stop letting other people tell us what our identity is and what our direction is. We are American citizens, but we have a problem that we have let ourselves fall into because we've let other people dictate a philosophy of development and of family for us. We want to support every woman's liberation situation, every gay situation. Next, we'll be for supporting the pedophile situation. We got our own issues we need to deal with. And the leadership, the so-called leadership in the black community is just simply trying to put a dollar in their back pocket because they don't want to lose their good government job. They lose their job over at NBC or CBS. So they don't want to come speak out. See, I can speak out. I'm a free man. I can say what I want
to
say because they don't got no stamp on me, okay?
We demonize them now.
This situation is the problem we got to have. People who are willing to say, you know what? This is how we're going to do our school. We don't care about, we know George Washington is the first president, but this is how we're going to do our school. This is how we're going to do our philosophy. We're going to do it this way because we're going back to where we originally came from and our own philosophy, and we're going to do it this way. And that way, if we can demonstrate that, create our own job. You got guys like me all around this country. Why come LeBron James not trying to contact me or contact his brother in Indiana or this brother in Oregon? Why do you put the money there? Why do you put the money in the shoe factory? You can put the money there. They can come up with they can build his computer. I know a young brother right now, 30-some years old, young brother, got about 20 times the computer science. He can't get the genius. He can't get anyone to support him in his business because some so-called companies don't want to support him. Because you're going to make it seem like the black man ain't stupid. See, when you start seeing the black man invent stuff, then you have to fall back and say, oh, the black man really not stupid at all. Hell, he working on high blood pressure. He working on diabetes. He working on something that's going to get me well and healthy. So now I got to rewrite my textbook. I got to rewrite my philosophy. He don't want to do that. I'm not saying white people like that, but there's a small group of people who want to keep the same thing, the status quo, and because it benefits the destruction of America by keeping the white man against the black man and the black man against the brown man, by keeping everybody separated with all these silly arguments about race and skin color and intelligence, they can make money off of all of us. That's all I'm saying. But we got to do our own thing.
The problem is they're being demonized. We got that. We got that, like, Condoleezza Rice. the problem is they're all being demonized. We got people like Condoleezza Rice, Herman Cain, Dr. Ben Carson. Nobody supports them.
And you know what? And this is the issue. You don't have to agree with my political philosophy for me to support you. There are people out there who are Democrats. I politically disagree with them wholeheartedly. But that doesn't mean I do not support them on a good effort. But when it comes to the reverse, they don't necessarily support me because I'm a conservative. And we've lost something there. We really, really have. 440, you were there. And now you're gone. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. The number is 330.
I don't have nothing to disagree with y'all, man. I just, my only thing is, like Jason Black usually talks about, I'm about generating some wealth, power, and influence so I can come help that brother you're talking about. That's me.
Exactly.
Most of us talk, you come try and tell me you about to do something. I got a friend of mine, never tried anything, but every time I try to do something, he's got something to say about it. But I call him because I need that. He motivates me. I need him to push me and insult me and tell me I ain't going to do nothing. When I do stuff, he shut up, though. I love to shut him up. I just shut him up a bunch of times.
Hey, Alabama, you can hear us. Man, there's somebody making a whole lot of noise.
That ain't me.
No, all right. But no, I was just saying, didn't you say the other day you own a 40-unit apartment complex?
No. What's going on, this guy in my city? Older guy, about 60 years old, 70. He wants to sell his apartment building. It's 40 units. He only wants $1.3 million. Well, the bank told me they only want like $6,300 a month for that. But he's bringing in well over $20,000. So I think it's a real good deal. You don't find those type of deals too often. So
he's
gonna have it on the market. He said he's gonna sell it to me. Yeah, what's up?
Hey, listen. You got 40 units. Are they subsidized?
Uh-uh.
They're just commercial.
They stay rented out. A lot of people like them. A lot of people want to live there.
No, I'm saying they're conventional. They're not government assisted housing.
Uh-uh. No.
What city is he in?
And he's only bringing in 20 a month.
Actually, the average rent is a little under 600, it's like 575. He got some, two bedrooms and some three bedrooms. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not in the best area, but the rent's about 575. So, and then time 40. That's, I forget. I did the math the other day, but it's over 20.
Well, if he's clearing 20,000, he puts another 5,000 back in. 23, then he puts another 5,000 and put aside another 5,000 a month in reserve for, you know, incidental, you know, maintenance. $15,000 in profit every month. That's not too bad. Because
if I bought it, it's only $6,300 payments. The bank told me that. Told me that a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
How much you got to put down?
The property that I've got is we're clearing about 28 a month. But then again, the rent is set at fair market rent, and the tenants don't pay any utilities or anything like that. So
I really don't want to deal with Section 8. I like this type of property because it's not Section 8. Section 8, you know, they got a certain mentality.
Well,
I mean, you know that.
No. Mine is a 202, Section 8 202, senior citizens are physically handicapped. You got that's a whole different animal. And I have people trying to
book pizza.
They're
going to pay their
rent.
They're going to pay their rent. I'll do that. They're going to pay their rent.
Yeah. But if you're doing just a conventional property, you know, you're going to have to put that reserve back every month to just for, you know, maintenance. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And at the end of the year, if you have some extra, then you're to the good. But,
I already had that figured in anyway. He hadn't built them about 12 years ago. He built them about 12 years ago, so they still fairly decent. But I see what you're saying. I think it's a great deal. I mean, I think, you know, I was looking at building my own properties. But back to the study, I was just saying, I'm trying to get my hands on some power, wealth, and influence. That's what we should be focusing on. Not every black person is going to do that. But I think that should be the main concern. I think we should be trying to do that instead of worrying about, you know,
hey, man, you got the wrong religion. Are you, I'm a Christian. I mean, you know how many people, black brothers I talk to can't stand that? Want me to go worship ancient Kemet or something? Hey, I'm not going to do that. So that's not the smartest thing to do anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just
with
the focus on the power, man. Focus on the money. Don't be focusing on, I think we lose focus with all these little side things. You're a conservative. You're a liberal. You're a Christian. I'm a Muslim. Man, just focus on the power, money, and influence. Jews, all Jews don't agree on everything. They only make up 2% of the population. They were hated in this country, but look at them now. They control our music.
But Alabama, I was going to say, man, I think that, you know, going to that real estate thing is probably better. And you know, I would stay away from the hotel dudes. As I learned, you really can't, you know, you get so far, but that religion stuff and other things will come up. You just gotta let them go. But
I mean, when he gets to talking, I don't say nothing. I just let him talk. But my thing is, I get tired of. I think that's killing us. I think we're so focused on that religion. You know how much knowledge these guys got. I mean, they can write encyclopedias of knowledge and can't even pay their rent.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, what they try to do is they try to convert people from their religion into theirs, and that's how they get their money, by selling them.
Look here, man, you come talking to me. You selling incense and you selling incense and beeswax. Somebody, you know, you can't even keep your lights on. And you up here talking about, man, nobody trying to hear that. I ain't saying I'm in that wealth stuff. But at the same time, man, I mean, focus on the power, money, and influence. Focus on that. I mean, the spiritual aspect is very important to me, but I think that's separate from trying to generate some sort of power. I don't get it, man. I ain't going to say separate, but I just think we need to focus on that. We can come together even though we disagree. I think people need to stop putting their differences aside and focus on trying to get ahead. Ownership or something. What do you own? What do you control? What do you have? Because that stuff don't happen to rich people. Wealthy people don't go through some of the things we go through.
That's not necessarily true. But let me just say this, man. I think that there's a big reason why, and this is what people don't cover. There's a big reason why the black community, black business idea hasn't worked or fell apart is because once people make it, this has been the problem. Once people make it, they tend to go with the other side, and that creates envy. And people would call it a crabs in a barrel mentality, but it's like as soon as somebody make it, all of a sudden they become like the Herman Cain. They switch over there, or they become like Clarence Thomas. They switch to the other side, and now they oppose affirmative action, or they oppose everything else. It's
See,
like,
but the problem is, Covina, man, you're looking at it from you're still caught up in that paradigm, Covina. You're still caught up in that Democrat Republican stuff.
But I'm saying that's that's why this stuff is doomed to fail.
Covina,
if somebody makes it turns to your enemy. Go ahead, bro.
The thing for me is, how do you approach it from the aspect of somebody like me, who didn't care about that? You know, I was gonna do it anyway. I could give a rip if you white or black. I don't care. You're not gonna stop me from doing what I want to do.
Right, but see the thing,
your color doesn't, and they have, and maybe because I spent so much time in the military, because see, I knew that if I did what I was supposed to do, and took the initiative, and did even more, it wouldn't make a difference what color I am. The only thing that made a difference was what was on paper.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. It is 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on WSOM. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. In studio with me, I have a friend of mine. He's not even talking. His name is Ronson McDowell, and he's been a friend of mine for 30-plus years. And I've been friends with his brother. Anyways, how's your brother doing? Good. I was friends with, you know, you, things go way back. It's amazing how you make friends as young people, and as you grow older, your friendship matures and it cultivates. And when you need something, and when you want something, you have a network, and you call them up and say, "Listen, I need for you to do some things," and no matter what, they show up. That's such a blessing. And he and his family, his mom, whom I love her all the life. She is a wonderful woman, Miss Naomi McDowell. Miss Naomi McDowell. And so I just want to give them a shout out. Eric, did you hold the house down while I was on break?
I tried to. Cool,
I tried to.
Who's got the radio on in the background?
Not me.
But that was me. I'm sorry about that. I was watching Judge Matt, but this is a couple for Warren here on her arguing. That's why.
Jeez, old man. Hey, listen, guys. I had to bring that topic up. Today was even going to talk about senior citizens, and we were going to talk about taking care of old people and elder care. We were going to do all that kind of stuff. How we got to this, but I had to bring up Mr. Bundy's comments because it speaks to a lot that we talk about here, and when it comes up, I believe that we have a voice to actually speak to it. And people need to learn from it, that you don't say it out loud. You don't say some things out loud, some things you can't say. But some things need to be said. And I said what he said was truly, truly ignorant. And I will give you that. It was truly, truly ignorant. But when I look back in the 60s and when I look back in the when I look back at history, and I want to thank the gentleman who called in from Texas, because he has a lot of truth in what he said. The cell phone, you would not have a cell phone if you didn't have a black man who invented the technology that allowed us to actually transfer wireless data. We don't know his name, and we don't celebrate him, and we don't talk about him. Some people wouldn't be alive. You know, there are certain things, and African Americans contribute so much. But it is to our demise in 2014 what we are allowing to happen to our young people today. And it is our fault. We've got the money. We've got the power. We have the resources. We've got the wherewithal. We've got the education. We have the infrastructure. But we are allowing the government to come in and take up for what we should be doing ourselves. And in a nutshell, I believe that is what Mr. Bundy was actually saying. That which we did for ourselves, we're allowing the government to do for us. And we have to put the government down because, would you say, Eric?
Crazy.
Yeah, I can only get so mad at what Bundy said when I look at what happened in Chicago this past weekend.
What happened in Chicago?
Talk about the
Eric.
Murders.
The murders. 8 murders, 40 injured. Bundy didn't do that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we have community centers going to waste because of our laziness and our lackadaisical attitude and us being pacifists. We have to cut that out.
Tracy, let me add this, because we were saying about a half hour ago before Alabama had interrupted me last time, but the timeline, when I asked you to read that thing again, I was talking about the timeline because Bundy skipped from 1865, the end of slavery, to the 1980s or something when people were living in subsidized housing and with nothing in between. He didn't talk about what black folks did with any type of black townships, any type of what you did was idealize what he said. Also, you expounded about what he said and started talking about, he was talking about black folks doing families. They was having a good picnic and they was going to fairyland and everything. Everything was great. And then all of a sudden welfare showed up. That's not what Bundy said. Bundy went directly from point A to point B, missed nothing in between. He went from slavery to subsidized housing. That's how I assume that's when Eric, when Sticks and Bundy and Eric in the studio, Eric, I assume when they get together, that's how they look at black folks. They don't know nothing about what. I'm going to finish. They don't know nothing about our history and what happened post-slavery until Martin Luther King shows up on the matter.
But can I tell you something? It's called ignorance. And that's where I come in. See, you know, the sellout you talk about, that's where I come in. Because I get to go and have a relationship with Mr. Bundy and have a conversation with him one-on-one as an African-American who happens to be a conservative. And if I'm true to my core, I'll tell him, dude, you can't say that. You can't say this. This is what's going on. And I can educate him about stuff that he doesn't know. I don't believe Mr. Bundy is a Klansman. He's just a man that's speaking his mind, and he's an old cat, and he's grown, and he does what he wants to do. That's what he is.
You assume he's not a Klansman, but you don't take his word for it.
And but listen to what I'm saying. But listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm
saying.
Covina, man. Covina, listen to what I'm saying. You declare him as a racial supremacist and a Klansman. And what I'm telling you is he spoke his sober thoughts. Our problem is we got white people in our face every day grinning, coming to our house and chewing on fish sandwiches every time they want to get elected. And they are worse than Mr. Bundy.
Yeah, that's your trained thinking. That's the way that you
no,
think.
No, baby,
fine.
That's not my trained thinking. That's true. Hold on, 440, your mic is on. Alex, you're next.
Yeah, Bob Bundy, yeah, he was ignorant. There's no doubt about it. But I think, and I could be wrong, but this is my thinking. I think that he was trying to get across if the black man was in his position, they would have gave him a pass. I don't see the government even attempting to do what they did to him. Not in that manner. There would be riots if that would happen. If there was a black man that was happening to. And as far as the way he talks, I mean, I hear the same thing on your radio show from black men, black people talking about white people. And till that dialogue clears up, there's always going to be animosity. That guy, I listened today. I mean, it's like the white devil is to blame for everything. I heard that today.
Did you hear that today?
And I mean, you know, if you want to work together and solve these problems, it ain't going to be that way. And if you're that, you know, and I'm not talking about you, if you're that smart, if you've done all these things, then solve the problem. Or tell everybody how to solve the problem. Don't just keep rehash. It's a rehash. Yes, it's Whitey's fault. It's Whitey's fault. That's what I hear every day. Well, I'm like Mark. Tell me how you're going to fix it.
How am I going to fix it? You know, but listen. Let me ask you this. You know, I can tell you how I'm fixing this. I'm talking about it, and you're listening. Because I'm quite sure in the last 3 years that I've been here on the air that you've listened since you started. There are some things that you learned that you did not know.
I agree.
And if I can say some things that will make you have a conversation somewhere else that will educate someone else, then I know Tracy has done her job. Then if you'll invite me out, and I'll come out and meet with everyone, and then we can have open conversations because white people need to understand who black people are, and black people need to understand who white people are.
Exactly. But you know what? And the one thing I keep hearing, you know, and the cotton thing was completely ignorant. But as a white person, I can tell you that there are so many things that you don't want us to say that we don't say in a hurtful way. It's like we're afraid to talk to you. We're afraid to talk to you because we're afraid you're going to insult you, and then there's going to be more trouble.
But this is what I said. This is what I said when I said about me. Now, I can only speak for me. When you and I've never met you, but there are others that I have met. And they'll go to say something, and I'll just say it. And then when I'll say, well, listen, I'll tell them, you can't say you people. You can't, you know, we'll have it. But it comes from having a friendship. The question is, do white people make friends with black people outside of their work environment?
And the white liberal media, they love it when old white guys put their foot in their mouth like this. They run with it.
Well, yeah, it's ratings. I mean, what the heck? It's ratings, dude. It's not about solving problems. It's ratings, and nobody gets this.
And Tracy.
Yeah. Hi, Alex.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning.
You know.
Who's beating somebody up? Hold on. Go ahead, Alex.
Sorry, I don't know. You know, I was reserving judgment of this Clive and Bundy character. till I gathered the facts and everything. But when I read this this Washington Post article this morning about what he said about black people,
yeah,
I just about lost it. Because here's the thing, and it's not for, you know, the same reasons that most people are, because whoever said it, the liberal media loves this stuff, you know. It's not for, you know, because I think all white men are evil or anything like that. Here's my problem. Okay, I fully respect how the Western states, they have a real problem that they've been fighting for decades, where the federal government has ownership of 81% of the Western states, of their land. And they've been wanting that land to be in control of the individual states for a long time. And they feel like it robs their own economies, their local economies and everything. Specifically in Nevada, the federal government owns 81% of the land there. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, so you have to have some sympathy for that in particular. You know, however, here's the problem. He has all these cattle. He's a cattle herder or whatever. He's grazing them on public land. He has more cattle than he can graze on his own personal land, on his own private property. Okay? How is that any different than how we love to pick on black women who have more children than they can take care of when they use government resources, but he's allowed to have all these cattle and graze them on government resources, but then want to act like, you know, he's the victim here. But now if a black woman were to come out and say the same thing, that she's the victim because someone needs to take care of her kids, we would have, you know, that would just be, and we've seen that before, you know, and people are like, what, this woman has lost her mind. And so in some respects, this Bundy guy has lost his mind, and he's no better than the same black people that he, you know, looks down on his own public assistance, because he's using government resources as well to feed his cattle for his own sustenance. So, you know, that's the reason why I just about lost it when I saw that comment, because he's such a hypocrite. You know, the irony is just amazing in this situation. And, you know, so that's all I want to say.
But let me ask you this, Al. Let me ask you this. Does anyone know how in the world this man got from cows to black folk?
You know, I think that the media set him up. I mean, because that's what they do. Like when it comes to certain conservative people who they label as anti-government, they try to paint them as racist. I mean, that's been the MO for a long time. I mean, when they can't defeat you, you know, your political argument, then they try to discredit you. And you know, they do it all the time. They've done it.
But let me ask you this. Hold on, Cole, in a minute, because I'll let you ask him. But I didn't know. I thought he was grazing on his own land. I didn't know it was government land.
No, yeah, he was grazing on his own land and went over on the federal land. How you doing, Tracy?
Good. How you doing? Hold on, Pianki. Go ahead, Alex.
No, he's grazing on federal land, which is why they sent the agents in, the federal agents, to remove him off of federal land. It wasn't his own private property.
Yeah, Tracy, can I interject right now?
Well, you know, if I can
I need
say
to pull
so.
In, hold on. Go jump in, Pianki, then let me get to Covina, man, because he's been waiting for a minute.
I support the cause that Mr. Bundy has myself, regardless of what he made comments in the newspaper. That kind of remind me of what they used to say, what they said Ron Paul once said once upon a time. It's the principle and the points that he's standing on that I stand. You know, I wish blacks would use the same sort of tactics at Harris Neck, South Carolina, that land which was taken which was given to the federal, well, they let the federal government use it back during World War II for landing strips for their for the Air Force, and they have yet to give that land back to the rightful owners. So, no, I appreciate what Mr. Bundy done.
But let me ask, go ahead, Pion. Go ahead, Covina.
Okay, yes. I just wanted to add this. I think the problem with, let's say, Tracy going to Mr. Bundy and trying to say, Mr. Bundy, let me try to help you clarify your statement and stuff, I think that attempt or that remedy has been done to where nowadays people are they use code words instead of just saying how they really feel. Like Mr. Bundy said how he really feels about black people. Wait, let me
finish.
Right, this is what he really feels. Tracy comes along and said, Mr. Bundy, let me help. I'm your consultant, a media consultant. I'm gonna tell you what words to use and what not to use. And that's how the Republican. Let me rephrase that. Let me just keep that out of my mouth. That's how certain people have began to say, they changed their words to code speak and politically correct. I think
can
it's
I
wrong.
Say this to you?
That
I think you. I think you miss.
Really
I think you miss. Covina, man, this is where you misread. I did not say that I was going to him as I was going to be a paid consultant to tell him how to talk to colored folks in the media. What I said was, when's the last time white people had friends that were black? And because a lot of times people are ignorant based on not being uneducated or being unknowledgeable. See, there are a lot of people out there that are of a different that are white, and they're not racist. They're ignorant. They don't know how to express their opinion. The same way that we use Ebonics and don't use the King's English is the same way they use the King's English and they put foot in mouth. And it's not necessarily because they're racist and they don't like people and or they believe that all blacks should be slaves.
Tracy,
what it is they don't know. They don't. Let me finish. They don't know how to. They don't know how to communicate. And if you don't know how to communicate, it can be devastating when you put foot in mouth. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to become a friend with the Ku Klux Klan. But what I'm saying is there are a lot of people out there that are just ignorant.
Well, ignorant means that you don't know, Tracy. And,
pardon me?
And really, there's some tenets of that the Ku Klux Klan have that I've heard you say you agree on and I surely agree on. So
absolutely.
You have to take people for what they have or what they are. Everything is not going to be perfect.
It might as well be perfect because we want a perfect world because we think all white people are devils unless they're Democrats and then they love us and they don't.
Well, no. But should we be – so should we worry about if white folks like you or not? Why in the world we waste time on whether or not somebody like you?
Go ahead. 440, your mic is on.
See, this is the problem I have. It sounds like – you want to say everything unfiltered, but we have to filter everything. All right? And when it happens, then you get insulted. And I mean, you can't have it both ways. And I've heard
it. Have it both
I've heard
ways.
It on your I've heard it on your radio show time and time again. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to talk plain, let's talk plain. Not insultingly,
wow.
but if you want to talk plain, we can talk plain. And that's the way it is. You can't have, well, I'm going to talk plain, but we're going to filter everything you say.
But
no.
It's not about filtering. No, but what
if,
I'm saying
if,
is...
You know what? And if you want to do that, give me a book of phrases or things that I can't say, and I'll know. I mean,
well, you know,
that's why...
I think
this
I
is why
I agree with him, Tracy.
Me too.
I agree with the guy.
Too.
And,
yeah.
And I'll tell you. This is why a lot of white people will not talk to black people. They're afraid they're going to say something wrong to you, Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, this is America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, hold on, wait a minute, hold on. Alex, I think you were next.
Well, I agree with 440 too. I mean, I don't think anybody's speech should be filtered. You know, I'm definitely... I think everyone should have that freedom of speech, but they don't. But they're not free of consequence. I think the problem here is that typically, what he's overlooking is that white people tend to have the complexion for the protection. There's no way that black people could be – black people can't – you know, three black men can't even stand on the corner without the police coming by and breaking them up. And so, you know, if black people were actually on federal land with some cattle, they'd be like, you N-words better get out of here, and would have probably shot them, and it wouldn't have even made the news. But the fact that white men are doing it, oh, now it's the national media. So
hold on, Sal. Go ahead, continue, Alex.
So my only point is that, you know, this country does not respect the natural rights of just being human beings of you know, people of African descent. And so until we really address that, we're always going to have these problems. Until you respect us as human beings where we're allowed to make money, you know, but be able to do for ourselves without you feeling threatened, you know, or, you know, just there's a whole host of problems where we are not respected as human beings, our natural rights. And so until we address that, we're always going to have these issues.
The issue that I'm running into, Tracy, is the older I get, the more I understand that it has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with ideology, okay? If your ideology is one that says, I'm going to keep people oppressed, then you're going to keep people oppressed. If your ideology states that I'm going to be one that let people live free, then I'm going to let them live free. Now, I'm so tired of the whole debate about color, because I've seen people who will go out and do something stupid and then turn around and blame the white man for it.
What's wrong with that?
Ridiculous. There's a lot wrong with it. Accept the responsibility for your actions. You do the crime, you do the time. And that's the bottom line. I don't make
Alabama,
any excuses.
Alabama, South Carolina. I'm South Carolina. You know, Covina man hit you right on the head this morning. He said you was going to go for this.
Yeah. It's the truth. It is the truth. I mean, I'm almost 50 years old, Tracy, and here I am, 50 years old, going to get a daggone doctorate, and do I care? No.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something.
I'm doing it for me. I took the initiative to get a better education, get more education, and I can't blame somebody if I fail a test or my essay, you know, goes in the toilet. I'm responsible for it, not somebody else, not some white man, and definitely not some black man.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I tell you what, you just 50 years old. I'm older than you, and I will tell you that color and race does have a lot to do with it, but we put too much emphasis on it. Need to go ahead and do just like you're doing, make the effort to control the things that we supposed to be controlling, and the hell with the white man.
Let me say it this way. Let me say it this way. I don't think it's the hell with the white man, but let me say it this way. I've got to cohabitate in the life in which I live. And you can't live in this world isolated, and we need to understand that. There's no way.
Well, nobody's saying you have to, Tracy.
Oh, no. So if I cannot cohabitate and or work with colleagues of another culture, and I can only deal with my own kind and the heck with everybody else, then I'm not really doing
that.
Well,
I'm not saying that directly, but what I'm saying is black folks are getting all bent out of shape because you had whites in Georgia wanted to have an all-white private prom. It's nothing wrong with whites wanting to have an all-white private prom. What's
I'll
wrong
right
with
back.
That?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh,
I'm still here.
She went on break. Bianchi, I honestly agree with you, man. I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with it.
That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. They marching and getting all bent out of shape because white folks don't want to be with you in that particular moment.
Now, they can't have it
in a public building, but they can go out and get their own space and don't want to invite black folk. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's America. You can do that.
that's why, you know, that's why I kind of got a little bit upset, you know, when they were talking about Augusta. You know, they didn't allow women in the Augusta clubhouse. Matter of fact, they couldn't even join. They didn't make a difference if you were black or white. They didn't let you join. Hey, I'm not worried about that. If they want to have an all-male club, they can have an all-male club. Hey, look at the Masonic Lodge, okay? You got the Masonic Lodge, and you got the Eastern Star. I've never heard of a male being in the Eastern Star, and I definitely never heard of no sister bringing no brother in the lodge.
Yeah, the Prince of Masons.
With these transgenders, you liable to have it pretty soon.
But I tell you though, I mean, you know, whatever happened to the right to do what an individual wants to do to be happy, to make them happy.
Yeah, black Americans got this fixation on whites that, like you say, they want to blame them for everything. You know, in the hood, they ain't been a white person business in their hood for decades. Now you got Asians and Arabs, and they still blaming white folks.
Are you anywhere near Detroit, Yankee?
No, I'm about 600 miles from Detroit.
It's about 20.
I'm in St. Louis.
I visited St. Louis a while back. I spent a year and a half in Detroit, and one of the things that I saw was a whole area where the riots were in 68, 69.
Yeah, 67.
Burnt out buildings. They had all these burnt out buildings. I mean, you had a whole row of buildings burnt out. Nobody did anything with it. Okay. Well, about the time that I was there, a lot of the Arabs were coming in, buying up this property, refurbing the property, and putting stores in the black neighborhoods. Out of the whole time I was there, I only saw one black-owned store.
That's what I'm talking about.
On the west side of Detroit. And the folks were there just mad. These Arabs come in here and they don't let no black people buy nothing up. They come in here, they put businesses in our neighborhood, and then they go back to Dearborn and spend up their money out in Dearborn. I'm like, it is 20 years after the daggone riots. You had the opportunity to buy the store, empty property, for cheap. You didn't do it. How are you going to get upset with them because they did it? Same thing with the Koreans.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Just like you. For years, the only people, you only had white people as steel erectors, and the ones that really did the hard work was mostly Indians. I'm talking about Native Americans. Who told you you couldn't have a steel erector business?
You're right. And, you know, in talking about that, when white businesses left, the NAACP went around town putting up these fluorescent signs with the word missing, M-I-S-S-I-N-G. They was bitching because white businesses moved out. Can you imagine that?
You burned down my shop and expect me to come back? I don't think so. it's just amazing to me.
It is amazing.
But the last time I was in St. Louis, oh gosh, I cannot remember the name of that street we went to. But we went to the zoo, and we went down this one street, and there was nothing but buildings just boarded up. I mean, they looked like real nice buildings, but they were just boarded up.
Alongside the highway?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where you were.
Yeah. I went through Baltimore, and Baltimore had the same thing. What gets me, though, is in Baltimore, because the same thing happened in Roxbury, Massachusetts, years ago, and in Harlem. What folks don't realize is Harlem, most of the folks that are my age only know Harlem as being a black area of New York. But before it was a black area of New York, it used to be a Jewish area of New York. Harlem was a Jewish neighborhood, and it was a prominent Jewish neighborhood. Now, for 30-some-odd years, only black people live there. Now the black people are moving out, and guess who's moving back in?
prime property now.
Yeah.
Same thing with Baltimore.
I wish white folks would do is tell black folks, look, go ahead and take care of your own neighborhood. We have moved clean out to blue skies, Yaki Wapa, and lo and behold, we look up, here you come.
Take care of your own neighborhoods.
Why are your children having to be bussed out in our districts?
That's what I don't get that either. How can we? Why you gotta act like the only reason to feel good about yourself is you gotta live with them?
Hey, it's crazy, man. It is crazy. My brother lives in Boston. Well, now he lives. He was in Hyde Park, but now he lives right outside of Boston. But when he bought his first house, he bought the house for $19,000. In the middle of the ghetto. He took that house. It took him 3 years to get the house, you know, built up and everything. He rented the upstairs for $1,500 a month. He rented the downstairs for $2,000 a month. Then he bought his next house. Did the same thing. Now he's got five houses right there in Boston, prime real estate. And he says when he retires next year, he does not have to take his pension to live off of, because he's going to sell all five houses and be done with it.
I talked to some blacks last night talking about going back to Africa. And I said, you're talking about going to Africa with nothing, whereas people coming from Africa with nothing coming here to gain something. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
What are they going to do when they get there?
That's what I ask them. I say, if you can't make it here in America, where you have free education, free and reduced lunches, subsidized housing, free medical, my goodness, where in the hell are you going to make it in the desert in the world?
Wait, you want to pick up the trash in your front yard, but you're going to go to Africa and build an empire? Nah, get out of here.
We Americans have a distorted view of what the world really is, because, you know, it took me one time to be sent overseas to understand that you're living in the land of opportunity, man.
It's paradise, because everybody wants to come here and extract dollars. Now, I can say going to Africa to start businesses, yeah, I could agree with that. But if you can't start a business and you can't control, you know, the Arabs come in, that store that was vacant for decades on the corner, like you mentioned with the people in Detroit, Arabs in Detroit, came in and opened it up. Now you're complaining about them.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when I went to Honduras and saw how those people lived, I understood, man. Hey, what I was making for one paycheck, they were only getting for an entire year of work. They would not. Our commanding officer would not allow us to go out in town with more than 10 lempiras in our pocket. That's it. 10 lempiras, $5 in America.
Hey, we're back, and listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I just have one question. Pionki.
Yeah.
Please tell me, I haven't heard about the prom. What prom? Who wants an all-white prom?
They have been having, it's more one state where this go on, by the way, but they was putting emphasis on a town in Georgia where whites have been having all-white proms outside of the school district for ages. And blacks was complaining. And, of course, you got some whites to complain to. But they had the school for the first time in the history of the school district had what they call a quote-unquote integrated prom, where the whites stayed within the prom that was put on within the school district. Now, that don't mean that they didn't still have their own prom in a off-school district location where they, like they've been doing for ages. So when blacks see whites doing something by themselves, saying that they don't want to be bothered with you, leave us alone, they get all upset. It's nothing wrong with white folks, Asians, anybody else, even blacks, having their own all ethnic group titled event.
If that's what
as
they
long as
do.
It's not on public property.
Yeah. If that's what they
want
to do.
Why do you want to be around people that don't like you? I cannot understand that.
Because for some reason we think that everybody's going to have this a Barney moment. That's what's wrong. We think that America's going we're going to grow up and one of these days we're all going to look like Barney and Sesame Street. And that's so unrealistic.
Crazy.
Yeah, hold on, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Private call, your mic is on. Private caller.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, Jeff, go ahead.
Well, I don't think that at all. That's not that has nothing to do with it. It has to do with what I told you a long time ago. My property value is quite significant concerned to what I built for. That's why I move where I move. I don't move because I like white people or don't like them. I'm not afraid of white people, so I don't care. I'll be everybody's friend if they want to be my friend.
But what if they don't want to be your friend? Do you care?
Huh?
If they don't want to be your friend, do you care?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I got plenty of people in my neighborhood don't want to be my friend.
That's their loss.
Huh?
That's their loss.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Friend,
because guess what? My property value is good. Their property value is good. As long as they maintain and I maintain, there's peace in the valley. I don't care. It's like that down south. If you go to North Carolina, I spent some time in North Carolina some years ago, and I saw these neighborhoods that look like in our Canfield with everybody living in it. It wasn't just white folks living in those neighborhoods. And it wasn't just black folks. It was everybody. And guess what? Nobody was putting up a fuss about nothing.
I agree with you, Jeff.
Jeff. I mean, the problem is we're not disagreeing with that. But the issue is we have a society right now, you know, that we all want everybody. And listen, anyone who has their mic open that's not talking and is making noise in the ground, just mute the button because y'all know where the mute button is. We feel as though that everybody's got to love me, and so we got this I love you, you love me, we're a great big family. It's not true.
No.
Yeah, we
I
do.
I love you, you love me. Let's get together and kill Barney with a Colt 45. We shoot him in the head. Guess what? Barney is dead.
I like that.
Boy, that's innovation for you.
That's what I'm saying. We all get this Barney moment, and Barney world is not real. And we've taught our young people that this is how it's supposed to be, and it's not. It's never going
to
be that
way.
One
thing I have to add in here, that does not mean that I have to live on a freaking property down by the river that's a brownfield site and call that my neighborhood because that's where they relegated me to.
That's
the
true,
problem.
But
and that's where you're having the mix-up in the thought. You buy
Jeff,
a goodly piece
to be
of
there.
Property that you want
to
live
Jeff,
on.
I have
yeah.
to be there. I got to
huh?
be there. I've got to be there because I have been indoctrinated to enjoy and to love and to be embraced by subsidized housing.
Well, that's my point again. I'm not trying to do that.
Here's the rub. Okay, at Myrtle Beach. You have some properties down there that look just like some projects up in Columbia, South Carolina. Almost, I think they had to have been built by the same developer, okay? You go look at the property in Myrtle Beach. You go look at the property in Columbia, South Carolina. Identical, all right? 5 years later, you go look at the property in Myrtle Beach. Looks like it was just built. Look at the property in Columbia, that's subsidized housing. Guess what? It's a rat's nest. I mean, come on. The person that has that likes the place they're living at and that has something invested in it, they're going to take care of it because they know if they've got any economic understanding that the better I take care of it, the more it's going to appreciate in value.
with somebody that has a mentality that I don't care, it's not mine, so I'm not going to try to keep it up, it's going to deteriorate. That's what we got.
That's what I said about. That's what I said that long time ago. I said, if you work hard and save your money for a car, you're going to take care of it. But if somebody gives you a car, you ain't going to change the oil. You ain't going to make sure it's tuned up. You're not going to
hold on. Whoa. Wait a minute. Hold up, Eric. That ain't true. If somebody wants to give me a car, I promise you I'll take care of it without a car note.
Especially that BMW you're looking at.
Eric, I'm trying to tell you. Eric, don't be trying to stop my blessing from coming. If somebody wants to bless you with a car and I don't have a car note, I promise you I'll take care of it. I'll make sure it stays clean, and I'll put gas, change the oil, and put new shoes on it. Don't be messing up.
Probably name it after, huh, Tracy?
I won't be calling it a bomber phone. I'll call it. I'll even name my car after me. Absolutely, South Carolina. It just won't be in the. And I don't want no government car. Don't get me wrong. I don't want a government car. But I will take it. Eric, you know, I'm looking for a trade for a car. Uh-uh, don't do that. Because, Eric, if I bring you a free car, you're going to take care of it, too. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. What about an
F-150
pickup truck, Tracy?
Absolutely. If I don't have a car note, I'll take anything you got. I'll take a Pinto. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, I'm done.
I just had to get that off my chest. Eric, you was messing up.
But that's the point that South Carolina is making about the housing. You know, when it's subsidized and somebody else is taking care of it, then guess what? I'm just going to spray paint it up, tear up the basketball court, because I know they're going to come back and fix it.
Now, Tracy, there is one exception, and that is
What's the type of
property that I have. The senior citizens' properties that are subsidized.
Yes.
I have no, they don't break up stuff. They run you down to pay their rent. You know, for the most part, they well behave until they get to the point where, you know, some of them develop dementia. But, you know, hey, that's just a part of life. But, you know, they're not out there trying to have a party every night and pay up your stuff. So, yeah.
That's true. You're right about
that. Value of it. Yeah.
But again, different mindset, different age group, completely. You know what I mean? That's just a totally different mindset. That area right there. I wouldn't let you in, so you came in?
No, you let me in all the time. I just happened to be down the street.
And you said you decided to come and say hi to me?
Yeah, I decided to come say
hi. I'm glad you did.
45 minutes left, so I just kind of dropped in. I was running some errands up in this neck of the woods.
So what do you think about all-white proms, all-white? Is it a good thing, bad thing?
I don't think it's necessarily a good thing, but if that's what people want to do on their own time with their own money on their own outside, then, you know, I agree with Eric and looking at it from the other side. I agree with Eric and Bianchi. If somebody doesn't want me there, I don't want to be there anyways. You know, if there's a bunch of hoity-toity white people that, you know, got their noses stuck up in the air and drink tea with their little pinky out and they don't want me around because I listen to that there redneck music. I don't want to hang around them people.
Slick, it doesn't mean that they hate you. It just means that they prefer this type of atmosphere and environment. And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but
you know what?
You
know how people look at the Amish and the Quakers? They look at them with disdain. I would love to have opportunity to spend a week with either one of those groups to see how they go about surviving the way they do.
Why don't you come hang out with us?
We can make that happen.
Well, I think I'm gonna take you up on that pretty soon.
Whatever they're doing is working because they've been there for a long time. So whatever they're doing is working,
and they are so independent.
Here's one thing though. But sometimes it's forced on you. Sometimes it's really forced on you because you know I'm a Marine and. You know, them daggone squids used to like to come around and try and invade our property, you know, invade our turf. You just have to beat them down. They just don't know when to stay home. Talking about giving us a ride on their boat. Yeah, we Marines, we swim where we got to go to.
You know what? You are special.
Oh, man, that argument's been going on for 200 and change years, seagoing bellhop.
So the Marines, women, they always go on somewhere but don't have a ride.
They call us squids and we call them seagoing bellhops.
They don't have a ride. They never have a ride.
But that the thing is, do you know why the Marine Corps, one of the reasons the Marine Corps exists, and Alabama, or excuse me, South Carolina, tell me if I'm wrong, because the United States wasn't supposed to have a standing army, and we needed a land fighting force. So they put it
exactly.
in with the Navy, which was allowed for in the Constitution.
Yep, we sure did. And that is why today the Marine Corps is called a force in readiness. We are a
right.
branch of the service, but we are not a branch of the service. We are a part of, and it cuts me to my soul to say this, we are part of the United States Navy.
Yep. They all go to the same academy. Marine officers.
They all go to the
Navy
same
officers.
Academy. But we're 10 times better than the Navy. The Army, don't even mention the Army.
Well, the thing is, I'm a
Coast
submariner,
Guard,
which...
Don't start.
Oh,
yes,
hey,
South Carolina.
Listen.
This is not military
yeah.
day.
No, I know, but
I gotta
say this though. Submariners, okay, Submariners, I can hold them on the same level as a Marine because they're crazy. Ain't no way in 1896
this is not
I'm gonna go down
day.
In no boat. I know, but I'm just saying I gotta give them respect.
You ain't gotta give them no respect.
No,
we're talking about a man in his land. Listen, I'm talking about a man in his land, and the man is that. Has anybody found out how he got the black?
I don't know how that subject came up.
Who asked what question that he got from? I want to graze my cattle. You killed my cattle. To now, let me tell you about black folks I saw when I was going down the street the other day.
I don't know how he got from there, but I will tell you. Are we? You want to hear a conspiracy theory that I came up with all by myself?
Okay, go ahead. Let's see if it starts
well,
with the Navy.
We started out with Bundy, right?
Okay.
And they just broke the story a few days ago that the Bureau of Land Management wants to take this 90,000 acres
in Texas
from these people. So what better way to
change the conversation?
To make the people in Texas look like a bunch of kooks than find a kook that you've been dealing with for 30 years and put him front and center.
Well, I think
because what they plan on hold on a second what they plan on doing in Texas is seizing land that these people have an out-and-outright deed to.
Now, I think
eminent,
you might be
eminent
onto
domain,
something.
Tracy, eminent domain. I could see if you're going to seize it because you want to put, you know, a major interstate through it. But to seize it just for the sake of seizing land under the auspices of eminent domain is going to cause a war.
You know why they want to seize
the
land?
In Texas.
Why they want to land, Bianchi?
They may be trying to collect all this land to give to the Chinese in order to sell their debt.
I'm not. Hey, it's my understanding.
I would put it past them.
Now hold on. I think you might be on because see, I think they're changing the conversation because of what's going on with President Obama going overseas to Asia, and what's going on over in the Ukraine.
Don't
and,
mess the
and they, and they need to change the conversation.
Oh, Trey. Taking a page out of Sleep Willie Almanac.
That's close.
What'd you say, Jeff?
I was going to say, you have to look at the things that he just did. He just dismantled the defense shield in the Ukraine. He just gave Iran, back their ability to feed their people and still seek nuclear weapons. He's also messed around and given... there's one other thing that I meant to bring up, but he's giving everything to everybody to the demise of the United States, and now you see three guys get killed in Afghanistan today, which he called the good war. You're looking at a guy that is dismantling on purpose. Okay, so Bianchi could very well be right. Harry Reid's son is interested in this land for some reason, and that's why Harry Reid is sticking his face into this like he's going to do, but I'm just going to tell you, none of them are worth, well, I can't say that over the radio, so I'll leave
no.
it alone. Yeah, like I said, but the thing is you have to understand, people have to wake up and they have to stop this foolishness. and know as much as I knew that he was going to run, we can't put another Bush in there because this Bush is not going to be like the last Bush and be half of a progressive. He's going to be a full progressive, and you're going to have huge problems.
But listen, let me say this: I don't want to go that far off to Bush.
But
my question is: Are they really spinning the conversation? Because right now, if you have you've got a whole bunch of much ado about nothing going on everywhere, and nothing with substance talking about anywhere. And is this conversation to change the shift or bait and switch of America from the land, from the foreign policy, from what's going on at DuPont Circle? Is that what's really going on here? I think we might be on to something.
It's out of the slick Willie Almanac. That's all it is. That's all he's doing. Clinton did the same thing. You know, well, Monica Lewinsky came up. He lobs a missile over in the Libya somewhere.
And look at this, though, and I'll leave it alone and let you guys finish up. But look at what's getting ready to happen. The conversation is to keep the ignorant people voting. That's the only thing that they're doing. And that's why you have all these people speaking on things that they have the faintest idea what they're talking about. You know, you have this man out here with all of these cattle, and they kill his cattle. Okay, they don't just take the cattle, sell them at market, and take the money and pay on his bill. They kill his cattle. That doesn't make sense. There's some issue going on here.
And they're trying to paint him as this evil, racist Republican so they can push that narrative.
Right.
That only Democrats care about you.
And they've been so successful, and our people have been the most ignorant at accepting their words. They can't see racism in their party locally or nationally. They're blind to it, and yet these people treat them like pieces of you know what, POSs. They treat them like that, and then they go, "This is a Republican. The Koch brothers did this." They use a picture of a shooting. Oh my God! How terrible they are! These idiots! These people are idiots. Okay, but the thing is, they're not paying attention to that. Their freedom is totally gone now. They can't. They don't have a leg to stand on with keeping their property, with paying taxes, with choosing who to go to heal their body when they're behind is sick.
Out. I'll be back. I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Well, my good people, you all have a good day.
Hey,
Jeff. Yeah. We ought to think about some type of enterprise that maybe some minds like ours could get together and enterprise. You know, throughout something simple, something that's based in goods that people need to have and create our own little niche in the market. You know, because when you have some like-minded people, we might not agree on everything, but the thing is that you don't have to have some type of degree of success in this country right now. Now, they're going to stop that pretty soon if they can, because they're going to destroy the dollar. The dollar's gone.
So I tell you what. That's what they got in this land up for in order to sell a debt with China, I bet you anything.
Oh, no, watch what he does. Watch what he announces when he gets back out of Asia. Because that's going to be the last thing. Because once that is locked in place, the only way that this ever gets cured is by war. That's the only way it is. And that's what progressives always do. They lock you in with stupid agreements, and then it has to be a war for somebody to triumph over the rest. And now he's making sure we can't win the war. He just took a destroyer out of one of the groups. That's the other thing. He just pulled it out of service, and he's on his way overseas. I can say I only wish. You know, and that's the thing. This I've never understood the Kennedy thing until now. I understand it. I understand it. But I didn't before. But
hey,
people don't realize
that,
if you're not awake, you don't know what the, you don't understand what they're doing. And all you know, you guys know what you're talking about. But for 99% of us, nothing happened.
You see where they took that lady's income tax return based on her parents when she was a child? Ain't that some crazy mess, man? And that was snuck in on the 2008 farm bill. By the way, Bush didn't even sign it, which I don't blame him for not signing it. But that's the whole point about what the Tea Party and some other conservatives were saying, that a piece of legislation should stand by its own. You shouldn't be inserting these hitting pieces of rules and regulation in it that cause these problems like this lady is facing.
Exactly. That's what's
just
going on, and that's what you're doing. That's true with
you. How stuff can sneak up on you. And here in South Carolina a few years back, one legislator snuck in a rider on a bill that stated that all propane tanks, no matter the size, had to have an OTR device on them. Which
right.
If the tank fell over, the gas wouldn't escape. It required tossing of 5,000-6,000 tanks that were in service. Some of these gas companies had to retool everything, right? 6 months later, the bill went back through. Another legislator rescinded that, and the governor signed it into office. That's just how quick and how sneaky politicians are. One put it in, one takes it out. But, you know, hey, nobody knows anything about it until, you know, it comes up and bites you in the butt. I wouldn't be surprised if they come up and say, well, I tell you what, everybody over 50 got to pay a surtax now because your health is so much worse than everybody else's. You know they already do that to white folks, right?
Yeah, I heard that.
There's a 10% excise tax on all tennis salons. That went into effect in 2011, I believe. Anybody that goes in and gets a tanning, goes to the tanning bed, is charged 10% more.
Yeah, I seen that surcharge on tanning booths. I was wondering why come there wasn't more.
The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Stick, guess what? I haven't played happy all day long today. You know why?
Because it's sunshine.
The sun came out.
I heard you earlier.
See there? The sun came out. As long as the sun's out and where I sit, I'll give you guys a happy vacation. When the sun goes down, we go back to happy.
Okay.
The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, I've got Sticks in the studio with me. Jeff's on the phone. Alex is here. And everybody's glad to hear from you, Alex. Are you behaving?
I'm trying.
And listen, Alex, you'll be home in a couple of weeks. I'll be glad to see you. Now, listen, are you just coming in for the weekend or are you going to stay a couple of days?
Probably the weekend, yeah. Yeah, probably.
Come on, you gotta be here so you can come and be in the studio with us live. You can't like just come in and stay the Saturday and Sunday and just bounce out. That's just rude.
Maybe,
you know what? If you do that, you can write the whole trip off as a tax write off.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do the Friday or Monday.
See, there you go. See, money always works with you. Hold on, Mr. Dover, your mic is on.
Okay, good morning.
Please. Good morning.
But they're attacking our Second Amendment by the back door. That's shutting down our last lead smelting plant.
Hey, Mr. Dover, tomorrow. We got to talk about smelting and all that tomorrow. Today we're on something totally different.
Okay.
Okay.
But he, Jeff was talking about enterprises that you could just start up too.
But that was a break. That he can't do that on air. That's tomorrow. Jeff, yes, tomorrow. Jeff talking off the air, off topic. Jeff?
What?
Stop doing that.
I didn't do nothing off topic.
Yeah, you did.
See, here you
yeah,
go.
You did. Yeah, you did. I, Mr. Dover said
why
Jeff,
the,
so I'm blaming
why
you.
Why is it that black women always have to accuse black men of something?
Because he said Jeff.
That's
not the answer to the question.
Listen, I will say this. On tomorrow, I do want to talk about the gun law.
In Georgia.
In Georgia. We got to talk about that. We can talk about smelting and all that kind of stuff on tomorrow. Tomorrow's open mic. But I do want to bring up the gun law in Georgia because people are really demonizing being able to carry a gun to church.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
I know a lot of churches where people carry guns.
Me too. And the bigger the offering, the
matter
bigger
fact,
the gun.
As a matter of fact, in the state of South Carolina, at one point, it was against the law not to carry a gun to church.
Oh, like that one.
So we're going to do that tomorrow. There was something else that came up that I wanted to make sure that we got in. The peace talks over in the Middle East have ceased. Surprise, surprise, surprise. What else is going on for tomorrow, Jeff?
Oh, I don't know where you want to go. Lots of things
tomorrow's
are going
overnight.
On.
And, there's a lot going on. We can talk
yep,
about
let's look at everything that the United States has given up that was strategic throughout the world in the past year.
You know, getting back to where we were talking earlier, though, I think Pianki's onto something because I heard the Chinese are forcing South American countries to sell the Chinese their mineral rights to pay their debt.
Well, let me ask
and we owe the Chinese a ton of money.
What happened with the Chinese and the Japanese? And
they never
and
have
them,
got.
Oh no,
and
no,
they,
no,
no, no,
no,
and them they, going against the Geneva Convention.
What Geneva Convention?
The Chinese do not like. I mean, they have a deep, deep disdain for Japanese people.
Yep.
I mean, they have a crazy. I cannot explain it, but I mean, when I say a deep, it's beyond hatred.
They hate each other.
The Japanese turned the Chinese, did to the Chinese just about the exact same thing that the Hitler did to the Jews.
Exactly. Exactly. And the
I mean,
Koreans.
They had what they called comfort girls for the soldiers, and they would kidnap Chinese women, and that was their job. And when they used them up, they just killed them.
Yep. And like the night before Pearl Harbor attack, they gave them a bottle of sake. A woman and said, "You're going to die tomorrow, so enjoy it tonight."
Them Japanese ruthless people, man. You don't know.
Okay.
You're
going to tape it today. Wow. Does Jeff always tell us to mute our mics?
Yep.
Okay.
He's in the background talking to somebody.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Just making sure. Hey, listen, this has been a good conversation today. You know, I didn't mean to go here all for the most of the week because I started out on, I think, Tuesday.
Well, we started out on this Monday, Eric and I.
Okay.
And it's been a solid week of.
But see, I went to race on Tuesday because of conversation about you know what it means to stay black.
And then Wednesday
and then,
we ended up with the we started out with the. Supreme Court.
Yeah, and affirmative action, and then today is Thursday, and here I am again because of Mr. Bundy.
But it rolls back into our guest yesterday with the with his movie, you know, about the alphabet soup of federal agencies.
Yeah.
And the green movement because they're all tied in together. I mean, this is all just—it's all part of one big progressive dream to shove everybody into the city, put a piece of barbed wire around it, and have a command and control economy for the whole country because you ain't smart enough to run your own life.
That's sad.
And the saddest thing is if we said 1,000 times, they use the black community as the test pilots.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But one thing we need to throw into the mix tomorrow, Tracy.
What's that?
Is rather or not, we'll find out what the consequences are going to be for GM for keeping secret the defects in its vehicles.
Yeah, I saw my first ambulance chaser commercial this morning.
Yeah, they're here in South Carolina, those commercials, and they are singling out. They have actually the name of these vehicles in the commercial, and said if you've been in an accident, you need to call this company.
Now, I have a question. Now let me ask you this, because this is, we will bring this up on tomorrow, but this is really going to change. This is really going to change everything, because will this bankrupt General Motors again?
Could.
Yeah.
If they prove they tried to use bankruptcy.
Well, not even
Now listen, because General Motors' defense is going to be, well, that was the old company and we're a new company because of the bankruptcy. If they can prove that they used the bankruptcy fraudulently to cover up the fact that they knew that this was a defect, all bets are off because you've got the same people in charge of the company. Somebody can go to jail over this. Multiple people can go to jail over this.
Okay, let's try this again. Will they? Because the General Motors, they're going to say it's the old company. I don't believe the bankruptcy necessarily was to cover it up. The bankruptcy just was going to kill all of their dead animals. If you understand where I'm coming from, see, not only was it going to It wasn't there to cover it up, but it was also going to kick all of the retirees off the rolls. So it was a multifaceted reason why they needed to go bankrupt. So it was a bankruptcy of convenience. The government came in and bailed them out.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
that?
That
was a mistake. That's where this all got started to me. You crawl into bed with a rattlesnake, you're going to get bit.
So now, where does that, and what does that, we'll do it tomorrow, but where does that place with General Motors?
This could,
because remember, we have a lot of people in locally.
This could drive General Motors completely out of business.
Will the government come and bail them out again?
I don't see how they can.
Yeah.
It's a distinct possibility. Why do you think... and the UAW sold out yet?
No, but they're weakening, and they're blaming.
No, I think you meant sold out their stock, didn't you? Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, they sold their stock out, didn't they?
That's going to make their stock fall back down again. But how in the world can you expect the government to bail them out for doing something illegal?
There you go.
It wasn't meant to be caught.
You know, Tracy, I predicted on your show before that GM would go bankrupt again within another five to seven years. This is the problem with any time when you have bailouts, you have malinvestment. And companies make poor decisions that they would not otherwise if there were the natural consequences of free economics, a free enterprise. If they didn't know that they were going to get bailed out, then there's no company making sound business decisions would have made those decisions. And this is the problem with government collusion with businesses, whether it's bailouts. And you have these kinds of things with insurance companies, banks, and now with GM. So farewell, sayonara, GM. I will never buy one of your cars.
Wow.
Yep, I've made my mind.
You don't want a
up.
Cadillac?
No. I won't buy a new car, Tracy.
Nothing newer than 2005.
I'd sell it and go get me an Acura or something.
I'd buy a Yugo before I bought a GM car.
Wow.
And that's saying a lot for me. I was a Chevy guy. But nothing newer than 2005.
Wow. You guys are rough on the poor little people out there. No Cruze.
Nope.
No Volt.
Nope.
Nope.
No Silverado. No Escalade.
Nope.
Tracy, I was a Buick man. Buick LeSabre. Not no Mo.
That Chevy truck I'm driving is the last Chevrolet I'll buy.
Jeez. Do you not, you know how, do you guys know what would happen to this country if General Motors went bankrupt for real?
Nothing. No, the laws of economics say nothing, and here's why. Here's the sad little thing that nobody wants to admit. If there's a demand for the for those units in the showrooms, somebody will meet that demand.
Yep.
Toyota probably would have bought the Cruise plant. They'd probably be making Camrys out there.
Styx is absolutely right.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that Styx is absolutely right. I mean, that's why, Ford is doing so well. They didn't, right now, they didn't take the money and take any money or and no ties to the government. They trimmed the fat in their company, took some hits, took their lumps, and came out, and now they're on top. They're the best American car company. And if GM goes out of business, there's plenty of car companies here that will,
they'll ramp up and pick up the demand.
Yeah, the market will correct itself. Simple as that.
I mean, if they'd let GM do a traditional bankruptcy, somebody like a Rick Hendrick or a Roger Penske would have bought Chevrolet Division, and Chevrolet Division would be doing exactly what Chevrolet Division does well. They'd have been building pickup trucks, performance cars, and large sedans. And somebody else would have picked up probably Cadillac, and the other divisions probably would have died.
Instead, they're building boats.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, they did the same thing. The government did the same thing with Chrysler back in the 70s and early 80s. After they bailed out Chrysler the first time, if you went onto a military installation, tell me if I'm wrong, South. What was all the vehicles on the military installations were what brand?
K-Car Chryslers.
Yep. All the pickup trucks were what?
Chryslers.
Dodges, yep.
Dodge pickup trucks.
What happened to Dodge?
That M880. I remember. I got a license for that thing.
All the vans?
That's right. Dodge is Chrysler, so Chrysler is now owned by Fiat.
Yeah. So we spent how many billion dollars in taxpayer money to hand Chrysler to Fiat?
Oh, we paid them to take it.
Yeah.
We didn't get our money.
And Jeep. And Jeep.
Did
and
we get
Jeep,
our money
don't
back?
Forget Jeep.
Did we get our money back?
No.
So we have foreign companies making our Jeeps now?
Yeah.
Aren't Jeeps still used as military cars?
No, the Humvees are GM product. The Humvees are GM product.
So the government's still paying?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
But yeah, I mean, every time they pull this, they just shift all the government contracts onto whoever they bailed out.
Hey, I got a question, guys. I've got to talk about. I'm gonna shift the subject just for a little bit because we only got up a few minutes to go. The e-cigarette thing. Is anybody having a problem with the government coming in and regulating e-cigarettes?
Yeah, I have a problem with the government coming in and regulating anything. The only thing that I think they should do is limit the age that they can have these things. But I will tell you this though. They do look like crack pipes.
Yeah, they do.
They look like crack pipes. I'm not going to lie on that one.
Did you bring up today the 4-year-olds got caught selling dope in Colorado?
No, but but did you hear about the woman who was selling heroin in the hospital?
No. Here?
No, not here. Here we had somebody here. They took a guard hostage in Trumbull County yesterday.
Yeah, they caught these two fourth graders selling grandma and grandpa's marijuana in school.
Ooh.
They said they're not going to prosecute them.
Yeah, Alex.
I don't know if you saw the study because there was a study that was done on that taxing of the and regulating the e-cigarette, and what they found is that with the government regulating it, it actually encourages regular smoking.
Well, yeah. I mean, the progressives talk out of both sides of their mouth on this tax thing. They want to increase the tax on things to discourage use, but they won't admit by increasing the tax on income that discourages work.
Who works? What's wrong with work? The man, listen, Mr. Bundy said if folks had something to do, they wouldn't be in all the trouble they're in.
Well, yeah, idle hands are the devil workshop, but I think he could have phrased it a little better. I'm not going to defend ignorance.
He could have phrased that a little bit better.
Yeah,
he?
I think so.
He really should have.
I mean,
his diplomacy really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that article. I read the entire New York Times article. That journalist should be fired because that was clearly biased. And they
Which
clearly
one, Eric?
These quotes the Bundy article.
So you got to tell. We haven't seen that article. All we're seeing is clips. I can't find the article. Tell me what in the world. How did this happen?
Yeah, I can't find the whole article. It's just like they picked up in the middle of the argument and just wanted to make him out to be a racist. It seems like.
Well, what he's saying is true. If them kids in Chicago had something to do, they wouldn't be out shooting at each other. My grandson ain't out shooting at somebody because he's busy.
But Al Sharpton said that was because you had a cold winter.
Yeah.
You had a cold winter, so now you got all this pent-up rage, and now it's warm. People are going to get out on the street and start shooting at each other.
So what's the polar?
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring the polar vortex.
It is Earth Month or Earth Week or Earth Day or something.
I told you. Tuesday, I went to my annual tractor pull tire fire and machine gun shoot.
That's because you're anti-American.
I know. I'm moving to Canada.
Well, Canada's better. Yeah, Canada's got better economic is better on the economic freedom scale in the United States.
You don't want to move to Canada. No, you got to stay here. Youngstown is the place you want to be.
Whole thing with Canada is so damn cold.
It can't be colder than what it was here this winter.
Yes, it was.
Because here it was brutal.
You must live around a bunch of people that voted for Obama.
You know what?
Yep.
We do. We did.
They could rename Youngstown Obamaville.
So, you know, that's a good name. Here in Obamaville. That's a good name.
Away again and here in
that was
Iraq.
Jeff, wasn't it? Yeah, it's Obamaville. Yeah, we like Obama here. He's our guy.
And he's done so much for them.
But you wait until you hear my comments on what I think about Hillary Clinton being president. I'm reserving them. I'm mulling them over. I'm reserving them.
Are you gonna break your own rule and write a script?
I think so. It's not gonna be a parody.
I mean write a script. Get all your thoughts in order. Stay
oh, absolutely. I'm gonna do a major monologue.
Scripted
absolutely.
Monologue.
Yes.
They might penalize you. They might penalize you for a tax that your great grandfather didn't pay. Take your tax.
Yeah, it's Tracy. You better be careful. They just shut down a nonprofit organization for making comments about political comments.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something?
What?
I'm not nonprofit, and right now I'm sitting at. I know.
And you're so broke, you ain't afraid of
it. No, and actually, the reason why I've never gone nonprofit is because I never want my freedom to be gone. I want to be able to speak my mind. So even as a preacher, even as a community organizer, even as a person who is very, very active in nonprofit issues, I refuse to become a nonprofit entity because you will not silence me by a tax code.
Ooh, too bad.
Did you read that slick?
Too bad.
Sticks, where that lady had to pay, they confiscated her tax refund money for a bill that her
mother, I heard about that.
A bill that her who?
Yeah, they were confiscating people's tax refunds for bad debts from their parents.
Yeah. The one incident that really stood out was years ago, the father had collected disability payments, quote unquote, illegally. They both have since died. But the government says this debt is on the books, so they're charging the daughter and other family members for this debt that the parent and the mother and the father incurred.
Now this is my
and that comes from a piece of legislation they stuck in the farm bill.
I heard that it was you used to get Social Security benefits for your children. And as my understanding, the parents collected Social Security benefits that were in excess of that they were supposed to get for those children, and they're asking the children now to pay it back.
But no. But what does that got to do with me? That has
because
nothing to
they
do
got
with
it.
Me.
They got it in the name of
you.
But they came about.
They if your mother gets Social Security benefits, and they deem her Now here's the rub. They can't prove that they got the benefits.
Oh, no.
If she collects benefits and they say that she got paid too much, whether you benefited or not, they're going to take the money from you.
And you know how they came about that, Tracy? They snuck that in the thousands of pages of the 2008 Farm Bill.
Huh?
What's Social Security got to do with farming?
What is the Farm Bill?
That goes back to the case where the Tea Party and, you know, said that a piece of legislation should stand alone. It should not contain any unrelated amendments. And that's what they done with the Farm Bill in 2008. They snuck that paragraph in.
I thought that the President Obama, when he went in,
Bush didn't sign it. But it became law anyway. Because it was approved by both sides.
ECC, what the web we weave.
this is America needs to get it. America's really
well.
America.
Remember how much fun they made of Herman Cain when he said there shouldn't be any bill that you couldn't be written on the back of a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He wasn't so crazy.
999. That's my guy.
There shouldn't be a new law written that's more than 1 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper long. There should never, and there definitely should never be a law written that's longer than the U.S. Constitution.
Like the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah, or the tax code. It's how many thousand?
Yeah,
the
tax code is crazy.
Well, Tracy,
that nobody knows. Yes, sir.
We the wrong kind of black people. And Sticks, you're definitely not Harry Reid, so we can't get nothing passed in the House, in the Senate.
Yeah. That's right.
That's the problem we got.
I haven't figured out how, because you go to tea parties, South Carolina, that you're a racist.
Yeah, and if I support this tea party, I'm an Uncle Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Well, y'all know how I feel about the tea party.
Well, Bianca, you should show up at a tea party rally in your full regalia. And see what happens.
You know what, guys? Hold on. I got into knowledge. Your mic is on. Into knowledge. Does anybody know who that is?
Not a clue.
No. No, as long as they don't get on here and cuss, everything's cool.
Somebody wants to know why do I allow such disrespect for the president? We're not being disrespectful. We're being honest about it. The president promised some stuff, and the Tea Party y'all singled out a group of people that really had nothing to do with racism.
No,
none of that. So it's not being disrespectful to the president. It's just being real about what he's done.
I just wonder if that same person that asked that question was asking that question of all of the left-wing shows that were being disrespectful to President Bush.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. President Bush, that was different.
Okay.
Hey, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's open mic. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Hello? Are we off the air?